Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In 2017, the world endured one of the greatest injustices of all time when filming of the third installment of the Sex and the City movies was abruptly and inexplicably shut down. Months later, here we sit, reeling from a lack of closure and struggling with questions that we'll never be able to answer. Living in a world where we're so callously robbed of the final chapter we all deserved is something I simply cannot stand for. Therefore, I, Lara Marie Shainhalls, am taking matters into my own hands, and I'm saving Sex and the City 3. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Saving Sex and the City 3, the podcast where I, Lara Marie Shainhalls, and a very special guest recreate the movie Sex and the City 3 and make our fantasies a reality. With me today is someone you probably recognize from not only his own podcast, but also he's a friend of my other podcast, Sex Unique podcast, and a friend of mine as well.
Aww.
It's Danny Pellegrino.
Hi, I'm so happy. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like I sort of almost forced you to have me in a way.
You did, but I liked that.
Okay.
Because it shows you're passionate and you like have some things to get off your chest and say and a story you're wanting to tell.
Totally. And again, I don't feel bad at all for forcing you to have me on.
No.
I really wanted it hard.
Last time I saw you,
you told me about the show and I was like, I was pitching myself. And
yeah.
I was like, I have these ideas of like what, I was like, I was in the news for Sex and the City 3. Which by news, I meant a blog post.
Yeah, wait, what happened? Give the listeners some context.
Oh my God. So I was in the midst of all this drama between Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker. So last year, before all this news of the Sex and the City 3 movie, of it falling apart and all that stuff, Kim Cattrall was in the news, or in the, I keep saying the news, but she was on Wendy Williams.
The news.
She was on the news.
My number one source.
So there were these stories about Kim Cattrall doing a spin-off Samantha show for HBO. Do you remember this?
No.
Yeah, there was like these rumors that Samantha was going to have her own show on HBO, not with the other girls. It was just going to be her. And
I love that.
Wendy Williams had talked about it on her show. Mm-hmm. Of course I saw it.
What was the concept for the show?
I mean, this was a while ago, but it was during the Hot Topics segment. You know, uh-huh. When Wendy just sits in a purple chair and she just talks.
She tells you what's going on.
Yeah. Which is like my favorite thing in the world, by the way, that mm-hmm. she just sits in a big fucking purple chair and she's like, here's the news.
Yeah.
Here's my thoughts on it. And the fact that she could command a room for a whole hour doing that, or, you know, she does those Hot Topics for like 45 minutes.
Love. Yeah.
It's amazing. But she's very problematic too, by the way. But mm-hmm. that's another story for another time. But she had been talking about this story, and then that day, they posted the clip online, which is where I watched it. I mm-hmm. watched the Hot Topics online on YouTube, and Kim Cattrall had tweeted at Wendy Williams, which of course I saw because I have a Kim Cattrall Google alert.
Yeah.
And she tweeted at Wendy Williams saying, like, she would love to do that, and, you know, she hopes she could bring Samantha. It was like, she was talking about how much she wanted to do Samantha again, basically.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so then months later, of course, I screenshotted those tweets,
yeah,
had them in my back pocket. And then months later, it was like revealed that Kim Cattrall was saying she didn't want to do that ever again. She didn't want to do Sex and the City. She never wanted to do it, blah, blah, blah. And so
What's
the truth? That's exactly what I tweeted. I tweeted that gif of Oprah and the screenshots of the tweets between Wendy Williams, whoever runs the Wendy Williams TV account,
mm-hmm.
and Kim Cattrall. And I said, so what is the truth? Like, where does the truth lie?
Yeah.
And then a few blogs like picked that up, that I had receipts. They were like, Danny Pellegrino has receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I sure did. And I don't think there was any response from Kim Cattrall about that news.
What really upsets me is the thought that we may never know the truth of anything.
Where do you lie on it? I mean,
I kind of lie on that everyone needs to get their shit together. Like, it kind of, everyone's at fault in the situation. And the fans are the ones who are suffering the most.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, put whatever pettiness aside. Like, at the end of the day, you're all making a shitload of money from this movie. Like, it serves you more than it hurts you. I mean, I don't know the inner workings, and I've obviously read everything, how, like, Kim's life was hell. And, like...
Kim, I mean, seems something.
I think she might be... She's an artist, you know? Yeah, at the end of the day, totally, I've right. seen the video of her doing that, like, improvisational scat with her ex-husband. Kibiebo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ababadoo-A! And so I get Dr. that she A. might be...
He's like, well, it winked at all. Sub Saray.
An iconic moment from Kim. But yeah, she might pose some difficulties at times, but these are beloved characters that, like, I mean, there's eventually going to be a day where there is no option for any Sex in the City content because everyone's getting older and people pass away. And, like, I don't want to think about that, but, like, it's the truth.
The thing that bothered me most about it was that this is one of the few film opportunities and franchises where we have four leads over 50. You know what I mean?
True.
And doing well and getting a big budget. So it's like, I know that the second movie, people hated it. I get it. But how many other opportunities are there going to be? Like, if a third one were to come out and do well, it gives another movie an opportunity where a studio is going to be like, okay, well, that franchise did okay. Maybe we can throw a little bit of money at another one that could potentially do well and snowball effect.
Yeah.
And even though Sex and the City 2 wasn't great, it wasn't the worst movie in the world.
No, I mean, it's truly one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah. Like, I'm highly, like, a genuine fan. Yeah. I probably watch it once every, like, 3 or 4 months. Like, I love it. And I do think that it is problematic and not, like, a quote-unquote good movie. But it's, like, it just is one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. It's
comfort food.
It's comfort food. And it just strays so far away from, like... It lives in the same world, but it also doesn't. I don't know. I just love any sort of Sex in the City, anything. I'll always be into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was great. And they got a huge budget for that movie. And no one else is getting a budget. Like, Book Club, which I'm so excited for.
I'm so excited for. But did you see all the articles that were like, Book Club is Sex in the City 3? It's like the Sex in the City 3 movie. I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. I got to go do some research.
They were like, it's the Sex and the City 3 movie we've all been waiting for. And I was like, it's true. I saw, someone tweeted that on Twitter. And I was like, I need to see it even more.
I'm so excited. But even that's probably what, a $5 to $10 million budget movie?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Sex and the City 2 was like a $50 million. I don't know the exact number. But budget-wise, Sex and the City 3 would have gotten at least $50 million.
Yeah.
And Part 2 made a lot of money. Like, it did, it was profitable.
Oh, they raked in the cash. Yeah. They make hand over fist on that franchise.
And I just want more female-led movies, and I want more older female-led movies, because if you look at someone like Tom Cruise, who's still fronting movies at 50-something.
The same movie.
Or 60,
it's like,
I know.
Yeah. He rides a motorcycle and, like, jumps off a cliff.
Even someone who, like Russell Crowe, occasionally, it's not happening as often, but occasionally you'll see someone like him, or him himself, fronting a movie, and you're like, how did this get funded? But, like, these female movies aren't getting funded, and those movies aren't making any money either. Like, the Russell Crowe movies, they're losing money, or the Tom Cruise, like, The Mummy didn't do well.
And, yeah.
You know, it's like, so, and I know those are franchise pictures, but Sex and the City was a franchise.
Yeah.
Like that. And same with, like, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Like, I love those movies, and it's so rare for us to get something like that. So when the opportunity presents itself, to me, it's almost... is selfish a little bit, or disrespectful to say, oh, I don't want to do that right now.
And it's does feel kind of selfish. Yeah. It's like there's so many people and, like, culture outside of whatever you guys are going through that depends, that needs this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need it.
We need it. We need the world needs Sex in the City 3.
No idea. Like, I want it so, so bad.
I want it so bad. When I was about to start this podcast, like, after I'd recorded some episodes and was, like, figuring out a release date and stuff, the day before I released it, I went to brunch with Ryan, and sitting next to us was Michael Patrick King.
Oh my God, it was meant to be.
And I was like, this is a good omen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so thrilled that you're doing this show, not just because I love Sex and the City, but because it gives us all an opportunity, the fans, to get, you know, to get a little slice of what it could be or would have been. And
to get a new story.
Yeah, to get a new story. And it's like, it lives on.
Yeah, it lives on it lives in the on. Form of this podcast.
I just got goosebumps. I am so excited.
Okay, so let's get in. I'm ready. I'm so excited to hear your ideas and just like get into this movie. I know for any new listeners, the whole premise is that I ask a guest to come with log lines for the four women, and then we build a plot and like flesh the movie out together. So,
and I'm came prepared.
Pass things off to you and just go.
I'll do all four of them.
Yeah, just say what like the plot lines are, and then we can like get into it.
Okay, so I legit had this idea before you asked me to do the podcast. Like, I wanted to write like a fan fiction book. I was like, this is what I'm going to do, and I didn't do it, but I'm. Another reason why I'm grateful to be here. So I had this idea. Have you seen 13 Reasons Why on Netflix?
I've seen like the first 5 episodes.
Okay. So basically I'll just give a little backstory. It's about this girl named Hannah. She's a high school student and she leaves behind tapes, and each tape goes to a different person in high school. And it explains why this is dark. This is a dark thing, but it explains why she committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And so each person has a tape, and you know, she says, welcome to your tape. And then each episode is about one of those people. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes into why she, you know, did what she did.
Yeah. And like how each person kind of contributed to the overall story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's very dark, and some of it's very problematic too. So, but that's neither here nor there. My idea for Sex and the City 3 is for Samantha's 13 Reasons Why. So... It might not be 13 reasons for a film version of it, but it would
that's
be like
a lot of reasons.
Maybe four. It would be 4 reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe like a few. We could get a few more in there. But so the movie would follow each person's tape. And look, I don't want it to be about Samantha committing suicide, but obviously Kim Cattrall does not want to do this movie. Mm-hmm. So my idea was to have Samantha's reasons why. Maybe, I don't know how many. We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, we'll go through and we'll keep a tally of the reasons. And then at the end, that will be the title of the movie is SATC3. X reasons why. Yeah.
So, but she's still leaving these tapes. And did you watch The Carrie Diaries?
No, I didn't.
Okay. It's really good.
I know. I heard people like loved it.
Yeah.
I was still feeling burned.
Sure.
Like, you know, I miss my girls and it's just like, it's hard, but I'm going to get into it.
Yeah. It was, I mean, that was a tough time.
Yeah.
But I watched it. And it was great. And it was revealed. Samantha came out on season 2, I believe. There was just 2 seasons. Samantha, the character, came on the show and it was revealed that she's from the Everglades. So I did a little.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I did. Samantha's from Florida.
Here. Exactly. Exactly.
My mind is blown.
She's from the Everglades. Yes. So my idea was that Samantha goes back to Florida.
Yeah.
And Florida is like the total fucking opposite of New York City, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Samantha's 13 reasons or whatever, however many, why she moved back to Florida.
Yeah.
And I figured this all out. So it was also revealed in the Carrie Diaries, or it might have been Sex and the City. I don't remember if it was which one it was, but that Samantha worked at Dairy Queen as a kid.
Okay, I remember that?
Okay.
Yeah. She had said that, I think, on Sex and the City.
Okay. So my idea was that Samantha moves back to Florida to work at Dairy Queen. And so for Samantha, I have that she's completely regressed mentally. And ultimately... Okay, and we'll have to figure out why.
Yeah.
But she ultimately decides to take her teen job back at the Dairy Queen from the Everglades, in the Everglades, Florida, and finally spend the summer growing up.
Love.
That's good, right?
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Okay, so tape number one. Carrie, welcome to your tape. So...
I think we can work in like the Kim Cattrall not being into Sex in the City. Like that kind of is a good parallel. So like Samantha is, she's having like a total inner crisis and she like her menopause, she's like gone through menopause and is on the other side of menopause. And maybe she has like, she's getting like early onset Alzheimer's or something. Maybe.
Well, and also, I mean, that makes sense too, because throughout the series, she sort of regressed. I mean, not, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, but she was dating younger and younger. And so it's almost like she's not sure how old she is.
She's dating younger and younger. And then she also is like, she, there's always talking about how much older she is than the other girls. Like, remember that one bathroom scene where she's like, you don't know how old I really am. And then she tells him, but we as an audience never find out, yes. Like the secret's revealed.
Yes.
So, okay. All
and
right.
In that one episode where it's Carrie's birthday and she's like, I'm 35. Mm-hmm. She's like, shut up. I'm 150. Or
yeah.
Oh, that's my favorite episode, by the way. But do you imagine we see Samantha? Like, because in my head, I kind of thought maybe she would like cameo on the way to Florida. Mm-hmm. Like, they would like give her a bunch of money, Kim Cattrall, to appear at the beginning. And then she'd go to Florida. And then we'd basically only see like, I don't know, they'd have to get real artistic with it. But we'd only see the people she was talking to. Or it would mainly be about the other women.
Yeah.
Their tapes.
I mean, I think that we could have just Samantha like moving to Florida. Either she's moving back and she fully believes she's like a teenager, or she's like suffering early onset Alzheimer's and she is, all the girls decide that I think the best way for Samantha to live her life is that if she moves to Florida and lives in like assisted living. Yeah. And so then to get a job to like make the days kind of go by, wow. The one of the only places she can get a job is at her old job DQ. At DQ. Wow. They're like, oh my God, Samantha Jones, it's been forever.
You're back.
You're hired. Oh my Please gosh. Be the cashier.
Gives her an opportunity to do some powerful work too, some dramatic work.
Mm-hmm. She wanted like more like of a story, like a meaty storyline.
Dementia and Dairy Queen is Dementia nothing meatier than Queen. That.
Yeah. And just like it really approaches and a topic of aging and what it means to like get older and like lose who you are, but then find yourself in the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course it's all set over the summertime. So it's like you get that summer spectacle, like on the big screen. This could be a big summer movie.
Oh, a total summer. Cause I think Samantha can also have a romance with a teenager.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe like someone's, that she worked at DQ with their grandkid or son. Or
yes.
Something.
Oh my God. Her old coworker yes. at Dairy Queen, his grandson comes yeah. into the shop one day and sets off like
fireworks,
a summer romance. That's kind of like The Notebook or like Midnight Sun, because Samantha that? Has like, she's like, has dementia. So she's not remembering him. And then he like, it's like, that's really good. I am so like excited. Actually freaking out.
Oh my God.
Okay. So that's okay. Samantha's journey.
That's Samantha.
What's Carrie's?
Carrie, welcome to your tape.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Aiden delivers Carrie. I'm going to read this from my notes.
Okay.
Aiden delivers Carrie's tape from Samantha, something Samantha did purposefully. So Sam gave Aiden the tape to deliver
wow.
to Carrie.
Wow. Okay.
Because, on purpose. Okay. And the tape reveals in flashback that seeing Carrie happily with Big made Sam feel even more immature.
Oh, wow.
So Carrie listens to her tape with Aiden there, and she rekindles her flame with Aiden.
Wow.
But so something about, this is all about age and aging and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So something about Samantha seeing Carrie happily with Big
mm-hmm.
set something off on her and was like, I got to get out of New York. I got to go to the Everglades.
Yeah.
Here's your tape, Carrie.
Okay. She's realizing that something's going on. Like she's like forgetting where she is sometimes, or like she'll find herself in the middle of Times Square and just like not know what's going on. And she gets,
how did I get here?
Yeah. And think, how did I get there? And she gets a diagnosis from her doctor, and he says, I'm so sorry to tell you this, Miss Jones. I know you've been through breast cancer and you're a survivor, but I'm here to break the bad news. You have Alzheimer's, like early onset Alzheimer's. And so she makes these tapes to like cement her friendships with the girls. And I think as she realizes that she's going to lose all the memories of her life, because like her whole identity has been like being single and fabulous and like fucking anyone she wants. Mm-hmm. And she realizes that now that she's old, she's going to lose all of that. Mm-hmm. And what really matters at the end of the day is, who did you love? Who did you fall in love with? And she realizes that maybe there was something, like maybe Carrie was right all along about like being in a monogamous relationship and sticking around and waiting for this guy to like come around and marry you. Yeah. And so then she's like, this is what I need to say to Carrie. And I'm going to have Aiden deliver it.
And like a little,
just to kind of fuck with her.
Yeah, kind of fuck with her.
She's
like,
I love this for you, but also fuck you.
Yeah. And I think it gives a good reason for Carrie and Aiden to get back together, because I was always team Aiden.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay.
Personally, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Wow. Wow, this is getting so deep.
This is getting deep.
This is deep. And we got to figure out a way to bring them all together.
No, we'll bring them all together. I want to hear the whole, just kind of the where you're at, and then we'll start from the beginning and we'll kind of build it.
So Charlotte, welcome to your tape.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlotte had joined the Real Housewives of New York.
Okay. Yes.
And her tape reveals that Sam was doing PR. Okay. So Sam was doing PR for Charlotte when she was on the Real Housewives of New York.
Okay.
And Sam got upset with Charlotte because Charlotte refused. I may have been a little under the influence when I was writing these.
No, that's stuff. Even better.
Okay. So Sam got really pissed at Charlotte because Charlotte refused to film with drunk Dorinda.
Okay.
Okay. On the Real Housewives of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte was afraid that Dorinda would reveal something about her adoption with Lily on camera. And so Charlotte refused to film, and that compromised Sam's job because she was doing PR for Charlotte.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
So that's something about her tape.
Mm-hmm.
It's about her tape.
Okay. Love.
Okay.
Okay. Go on.
So this is Miranda. Miranda, welcome to your tape. I'm going to miss saying that.
I like that you're I can see how much joy you get out really of saying,
I'm like so excited.
Welcome to your tape to all the characters.
Wait, this is Miranda and Steve. Welcome to your tape.
Oh, a duo.
So Miranda and Steve, they're happily in an open relationship. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowed to fuck people of the same sex now that Brady's out of the house at college or boarding school. And Steve starts experimenting with men, and Miranda's surprisingly supportive, which is very out of character for Miranda.
Yeah.
So Sam, her tape to Miranda is all about their sexual openness and how she's, how it haunts Samantha because she tried to be bisexual before and failed.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing Miranda and Steve experiment with their sexuality set something off in Samantha where she's like, I can't see this anymore.
Yeah.
That's what their tape is about.
Okay.
So that's what Miranda and Steve did to make Sam run.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
I'm getting a lot of that. It's just like, I think with her diagnosis and stuff, it's like, it's triggering all these relations. She's questioning every relationship choice she ever made. And then seeing all her friends in their various relationships coupled with like her career crumbling is like, it's all too much for her.
Yeah, it's too much.
So back to Florida she goes.
Back to Florida. I mean, I think all these things, even when you're in a city for a long period of time, there always comes a point where you start to question everything that you're doing. You're like, why am I here? Right?
Yeah.
Like, I've lived in other cities besides LA. And even in LA, it's like you look around sometimes after being somewhere for a while, you're like, is this really where I'm meant to be? Like, should I go back home or should I, you know, what should I do? And I think Samantha's definitely having that moment when it comes to her diagnosis.
Yeah.
And then also seeing her people in these various states. It's all triggering.
Yeah, it's all very triggering.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm thinking that this movie opens with like
Memorial Day weekend, by the way.
What?
On Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's huge, hugely hyped up for Memorial Day weekend. And they're like, it's like no other version of Sex in the City you've ever seen. Like, it's like really mysterious. Like, no one really knows what the plot is. But all the critics that have seen it are like, that was fucking incredible.
Yes.
And there's like actually award season buzz because it's like Kim Cattrall gives the performance of a lifetime.
And like more than Golden Globes. Like it's
Golden Globes. Yeah. It's like all Academy Awards. Like they're really gunning for it. And this is also like turned into Kim Cattrall's moment to really like shine as an actress. Uh-huh. I see her being like a big part of this movie, like her love story. Like I love the 13 Reasons Why and like figuring it out. But I think that her love story and her portraying a dementia ridden DQ worker who falls in love with a unrequited love with a 17-year-old.
17, I was just going to ask how old.
He's underage, for sure. So it opens with Samantha. I think she's like on her way to work. Like it's like a good, it's like a flurry of feet in New York. Yeah. And you get like all these women, like it's like maybe a commentary on like aging or something like that. Like
and the song that's playing is Suddenly I See by Katie Tunstall. You know, Suddenly I See.
Like Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah. Is that in that? Yeah. It's like, well, I know I've
when
seen
they're
that
all song. Walking
yeah.
through.
We're recycling it.
Yeah. Okay. And I think like, do you, we want to have Carrie narrating this movie, or are we going to make Samantha it all does. About Samantha?
I think Samantha
that's
narrates.
The big twist. Yeah. So Samantha's talking about, she's like, it's like, you know, when I stopped going through menopause and things just got a lot easier. And I got to say, it's kind of fabulous being 70 or how old?
Yeah. How old is she? She's like 70.
Yeah. She's like 70. She's
I kicked cancer, but
yeah, I kicked cancer, but can I kick old age's ass? And she's like walking and it shows like inspirational, like older women of New York that are like very chic and like the different styles of like older women.
And she passes like a Wall Street guy, like a young, hot Wall Street intern, like a guy, and they bump into each other in an accident. And then the hot Wall Street guy like turns around, like checks her out, and he's like, ooh, baby. And then she gets like really, she's like, I still got
it. Yeah, she is still got it. And so you see her, and then I guess you get like, we'd have to show the other girls too and like what they're up to in like their individual apartments and like check in with just like how they're looking. And then suddenly
you see
suddenly we see the music kind of takes an ominous turn and Samantha's confused. She doesn't know where she is. She's like completely disoriented
in the middle of Times Square.
And she's having like a Still Alice moment.
Yes.
And she
Still Alice. I always picture this. I can't even say
Still Alice was like a horror movie.
I know. Oh my God.
It was like really one of the most traumatic movies I've ever watched.
There was like a scene where she couldn't find the remote, I think. Am I making that up?
Oh no. There's like she. Oh my God. There's every scene. It's horrific.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is Kim Cattrall's Still Alice.
Yeah. Yeah. Kim Cattrall's Still Alice. Still Sam. Sammy. Still Sammy.
Okay. So she's in the middle of Times Square. She doesn't know where she is.
Yeah.
Having a moment.
And she's
you know
like,
what? I think the music cuts out and we don't, all the audio cuts out.
Yeah.
Like there's not like, even the background noise. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Into just like silent. And she's like looking around and she just doesn't know. I think she calls, who does she call? She calls one of the girls.
She, you know what? She calls Miranda, but Magda answers.
Yeah. Who's still around, but is also really old. And
older,
they kind
like
of
way older.
Yeah,
than
way
Sam.
Older. And they kind of like can't understand each other.
They just have a conversation that's totally like neither one knows what they're
neither one knows. And it's a light kind of comedy moment amidst this like very concerning like terror moment.
Yeah.
So they hang up and she calls and then
that's just a quick little vignette.
Yeah, just a quick
little
vignette.
Thing. You get some comedy in there.
We get some comedy. It's they not hang all dark. Up and then Magda turns to Miranda, who happens to be there, and she's like, Miss Samantha is having problem. And then, but Samantha's already moved on and trying to call someone else.
Yeah. So Miranda tries to call Samantha. Samantha doesn't answer.
Yeah.
And then maybe do we stick on Miranda for a minute?
I think we stick on Miranda and see Steve getting home from like a night out
with a guy.
Yeah.
Cause he's they're bisexual.
Cause they're bisexual now. And he comes in and Steve like, he's like grown. I think he's like grown his hair out to like have kind of like a ponytail, and he has like an earring, and he's wearing like short jean shorts,
a little bit of like a patchy beard.
Yeah, a patchy beard. Yeah.
And he goes to kiss Miranda on the lips, like when he gets home from his night out. And this is like, you know how sometimes they would have like a gross moment in the show. Well, he has some semen on his beard.
Yeah. She's like, oh, it looks like you had fun last night.
Yes. Because she's okay with it. And that's
yeah,
like,
she's
tells
totally
us, oh, they're
chill.
They're good with it.
Yeah. And he's like, I did. He's like, I finally did grind it for the first time. And like, he's like loving it. And he's like buff now too.
Yeah. Like he sucked a dick last night and he's so happy about it.
Yeah. He's happy about it. He's like, his face and like above the neck is like kind of homeless hipster. But below the neck is like, he's
muscle
fucking
daddy.
Muscle daddy.
Yeah.
And so you see, and he's like, do you, he's like, want me to hold down the fort while you go on your date tonight? And she's like, yeah. And
yeah, and maybe she's on like, what's the lesbian version of Grindr? Is it Grindr?
I don't know. I've never seen a lesbian.
She's
on
one
on
of
Grindr.
Those. She's on Bumble or something.
She's on Bumble. Yeah, she's on Bumble.
You know what? No, no. I changed my mind. She's on Craigslist.
She's on Craigslist. Miranda's not paying. She's like very, exactly. Yeah, she's not paying for it. And she's on Craigslist, or she just goes out to like the lesbian bars and like butches up her look and then just like cleans up shop at these places.
She's like female for female on Craigslist or at the bar.
Yeah. And so, and she's like, yeah, definitely. And so then we cut and she's like, I got to call Samantha. But she calls her and Samantha doesn't pick up.
So she calls Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Then we check in with Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls Charlotte and she said, hey, I just got this call, or Magda just got a call from Sam. I don't know what happened. Where's Sam at?
Yeah.
And Charlotte's like, oh my God, I've been worried about her. Mm-hmm. Because Charlotte's noticed some of the signs with Sam.
Yeah.
Because she's been working with her on the Rouses in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so Charlotte has sort of an idea that something's going on with Sam mentally or emotionally or something. You know, yeah. Something's up with Sam.
Yeah.
So Charlotte immediately expresses her concern.
Mm-hmm. She's like, she sent me all these weird emails the other day that like meant nothing. It was like a flurry of emojis. And
we
then
cut
like
to those emails.
Yeah. And we see like, it's like emojis and then like cutesy selfies.
One of the emails is accidentally a sex tape.
Mm-hmm.
She sent it to Charlotte.
And Charlotte's been getting all these like erratic emails and sometimes like phone calls of like Samantha talking about like ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Charlotte's in the middle of shooting right now with mm-hmm. Ramona Singer. And so they have to shut down. They shut down for a second. And Charlotte is like, Ramona, I got to go talk to my PR person, Sam. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. So Ramona has a cameo. Mm-hmm. This is Ramona's cameo.
Yeah. This is Ramona's cameo. And she's like, okay, do what you got to do. Or is she mad? Is she happy or is she mad? What are Charlotte's alliances in the world of Real Housewives?
I think Charlotte is friends with Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And because like opposites attract, and Tinsley, she like teams up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's feuding with Ramona on screen, but off screen they're good.
Mm-hmm.
So when we cut to Charlotte, she's sort of having a spat with Ramona, but mm-hmm. then we turn off the cameras and then they're like,
and they're like totally really professional. They're like in cahoots. Mm-hmm. And like actually everyone's been tuning in for their drama specifically. Uh-huh.
And they're thriving off of it.
They're thriving off of it. Like, their lives have never been better. Charlotte's at, like, the top of her game, and she's, like, a full-fledged reality star.
Charlotte's the star.
Mm-hmm.
And her feud with Dorinda, so she has this big feud with Dorinda, and it's because Dorinda's star has fallen since Charlotte joined the cast.
Yeah, and she wants to, like, expose Charlotte and, like, take her down.
Yeah, and coincidentally, Kelly Bensimone has been contacting Charlotte to get back on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, Kelly's trying to get back on the show.
Yeah.
And Charlotte's,
because they know each other from back in
the
day.
They went to a photography class together mm-hmm. when they first moved to New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're old friends.
Yeah. And it's awkward because
Charlotte
it's like,
dated Kelly's ex-husband.
Yeah. Gio mm-hmm. Bensimone. Yeah. Yeah.
Charlotte dated him for sure. And they knew each other from the art world.
Yeah. And they knew each other from the mm-hmm. art world. And so, but it's just never going to happen for Kelly. But it's awkward when Charlotte has to like dodge the calls or make up like an excuse.
Sorry, Kel.
Yeah. Because Kelly's like, let's do a lunch with Andy. And like, she wants like to all get together. And Charlotte's just like, no.
Okay. So then Charlotte is, you know, she takes a break from filming. She tries calling Samantha. Samantha doesn't answer because she's still lost.
We cut back to Samantha and she's just still in, she's just
still,
sitting
still
in
still
Times
Sam.
Square.
Still,
yeah.
She's still samming.
Still samming in Times Square. Uh-huh. And I think she like threw her phone in the trash can by accident. Like mm-hmm. things have really taken a turn.
Oh, this is dark.
This is dark.
Okay. So then Charlotte calls Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie, what is Carrie up to?
Carrie's in her closet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is where we first see Carrie.
Yeah. Surrounded by like tons and tons of clothes.
And she had just renovated her closet. So maybe like people, the designers who just redid her closet, they're like leaving the house mm-hmm. as Carrie gets this call. And she's like, what do you need? I'm in the middle of my redesign.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I have so much to unpack. Like, everything's mm-hmm. getting back from storage today. Like, what's up? You know, like, nothing can come between me and my shoes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Charlotte tells her.
She's like, I'm worried about Samantha. Like, we've been getting weird phone calls. I've been getting weird emails. I think something's wrong. And you're her closest friend. Like, you're Sam's best friend.
Mm-hmm. You're the one that, like, needs to
step in.
Step in. Then I think all three of the girls get on the phone together. Uh-huh. And so we get, like, the split screen.
I love it.
And then they call. Goosebumps. They're like, let's call Samantha's office. Mm. And, like, we'll, I'm sure she's at work. She's never missed a day of work. So they call the office. And Samantha's, like, harried assistant picks up. And they're like, is Samantha there? And she's like, no, I was just about to call you. Because she is not at work and I don't know where she is. She's not answering her cell phone.
So the assistant does find my iPhone.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll do it. Hold on. Hold, please. She tells the girls to hold. They hold. She doesn't find my iPhone. She comes back to the group call and she's like, look, girls, she's in the middle of Times Square. I don't know what she's doing, but that's where her phone is. Go check it out.
Yeah.
So then all the girls hang up. They say, let's meet in Times Square. Mm-hmm. We'll find her.
Yeah.
Before they all meet, Carrie goes over to her computer to write like a little quick little thing, mm-hmm. right? Because she's got to write about this.
Yeah.
She's what like, does she write? She writes.
Okay. So Carrie, so Big is finally retired. So like, that's why this renovation happened. Cause he came into like all his retirement millions and they're like, let's make the closet like triple the size and like, we'll just expand this apartment to like the whole floor.
And Carrie's apartment's really like that movie porn. You know what I mean? Like the Nancy Myers, like you're looking at this apartment and you're like, I have to live there.
They're moving. They finally are moving up to that apartment on the top floor that they were originally going to move into. Sure. And they were like, we were saving this for this special anniversary when you retire. And like, they're like, we are doing this.
Yes.
So they move there that, and that's the move. So they, that's all the renovations have finished and they're like, it's like move in day. And Big, he's like retired now, so what are his interests? Like, what does he do watches, with his days?
He watches American Chopper on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And
Carrie kind of likes that.
She likes
a reality. She was like, she got really into reality shows when Charlotte started on Housewives. And so now she and Big like have it. They've squashed their TV drama.
Yes.
And now she's like into like chic cashmere loungewear, and she's even a little older, so she gets it now. She's
and,
like,
in a little bit of a meta wink and nod, it's revealed that Carrie and Andy Cohen are very good friends now.
Yeah, definitely.
So like they hang out sometimes.
They connected they over met, books. Yeah,
yeah, they met over books. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So and they all three go to dinner, and Andy is just like tickled by Big.
Yes.
He likes to give him a hard time and ask him like tough questions, and then they all just have fun, and then Carrie and Big watch American Chopper and like are just very domesticated
in their stunningly
gorgeous
apartment. And Carrie's still writing some online columns.
She's still writing and she's talking about a lot of it is like getting older and like what it means to be retired and going into your twilight years and like aging gracefully, and so it's just all very like hot topics for her.
So she goes in and she's like, well, if we had to use Find My iPhone for Samantha, do we have to use Find My Big for my, I'm trying to think of like one of those voiceovers, like, although it's Samantha's voiceover.
Yeah, it's Samantha's voiceover.
So maybe we don't need that.
But I think we could cut to Carrie sometimes, like having her like call him.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's just like, if one day we wake up and we can't find Samantha, I can't help but wonder who won't we be able to find next?
Who's lost now?
Yeah, who's lost now?
When Big and I rented Still Alice, I didn't know that it'd become a documentary. I couldn't help but wonder, was she still Samantha?
Exactly. So all the girls rush. They rush to Times Square.
Yes. Okay, so now we're in Times Square. All three of the girls are together without Samantha.
Yeah, and they're frantically looking for Samantha.
In all new outfits.
In all new outfits. Mm-hmm. And like,
although Carrie still has the same belt she wore in the previous scene, they're just repurposing it for this new scene.
Yeah, she had to like read, like you can't just leave the house in your house outfit and go to Times Square and you're looking for Samantha outfit. It's like imperative that they all.
They
and
all
I think
change.
It's raining at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of fashion is Miranda's fashion? I'm not going to ask you what. Let's say what kind of fashion Miranda's is, because she's a little bit more sexually ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
So is her fashion?
I think Miranda has like a spiky hairdo now.
Yeah. But still, it you know what? It's a spiky hairdo that's not in style yet.
Mm-hmm.
But after this movie comes out, it's going to like catch on.
Yeah. People are going to go to the salon asking for the Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, I think I picture it to be kind of Tilda Swinton-esque, where it's like very short on the sides and longer on top, but instead
spiked
of
a, all the way
it's
up.
Spiked all the way up.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
like it's a lot of, and she just uses men's hair gel.
Yeah, and it just like spikes her mm-hmm. hair. Yeah, and that's the Miranda. And it shockingly does not sound like it would look becoming, but it looks incredibly becoming on
her. It looks so good
on her.
It's the
best hairstyle she's ever had.
We all see it and we're like, holy shit, like that was the hairstyle you're meant to have.
Yeah.
And when other people try it, they look like the Cynthia doll from Rugrats, mm-hmm. like their hair.
Yeah, it's
but
too much.
On Miranda, it looks so fucking good.
And it's like elegant on Miranda.
It's elegant, it's sexy. It's a little bit tough lesbian, but then it's also very like subtle, like, you know, it's doing it all.
And like even like Vogue, like after the movie comes out, will publish articles like, so you can't get the Miranda at home, but here's how you can do like your own version. It's like, it's a phenomenon.
Yeah, it's like it's the new Rachel.
Yeah, it's the new sure. Rachel. Everyone forgets sure. about Jen Aniston, and yeah. it's all now about Cynthia Nixon and the mm-hmm, Miranda. Mm-hmm. So okay. And I think she's like just in a lot of cargo pants. Mm-hmm. And then
sexy cargo, and those come in style too. Miranda's like setting all the trends for the US.
Yeah, sexy cargo pants, and then like
in tube socks
and like combat boots, but then also like chunky sneakers,
like one of each.
Yeah This is like always the new always one of each, and this is like becomes also a huge trend mm-hmm. after the movie, is that instead of matching your shoes, you now wear like one statement shoe on one foot and a different statement shoe.
And even Carrie in one of the scenes later on is wearing two different shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're high heels or something. But
yeah, because she did that in one of the going to LA episodes where she wore a different color Louboutin. Mm-hmm. So this is like
is taking it one step further.
Yeah,
and they're different heels.
Totally different genres. Different genres of heels. Like a kitten heel and then a high heel. Yeah.
One's an open toe and one's fully closed.
Yeah. And like a booty or something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. all about like mixing up the shoes. But then the shoes also, like, I think to tie them together, have like maybe a similar color scheme. It's like a new thing designers are doing where mm-hmm. it's like, why get a pair of the same shoes when you can get two different looks. Mm-hmm. but that are somewhat tied together.
Yeah.
And this trend really explodes.
Like that summer, in the summer of this comes out in 2019, mm-hmm. it just explodes that summer. Like every girl and guy, they're wearing two different shoes.
Yeah. And that's just like how it is.
The guys are too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's universal, mm-hmm. unisex, mm-hmm. different shoes.
And even the guys are trying the Miranda cut.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do it.
Yeah. You do it.
I definitely try.
You definitely have the Miranda and it looks great.
Yeah.
It really fits. Kill it. And then there's like a blog post that's like, when you reveal your haircut, it's like Danny Pellegrino does the Miranda, like guess which superstar just got the Miranda, and then it's you.
Well, and then Wendy Williams does a Hot Topic.
Oh my god. Yeah. And then she does
men getting the Miranda.
Mm-hmm. And then I think even in a segment on Wendy Williams, she does like an on the street where she gets a wig of uh-huh. the Miranda uh-huh. and wears it out and about to see like what people think. Yeah. And it kind of looks great on her.
It looks good on Wendy too.
Yeah. But only as a wig.
Only as a wig, so she can't do it on her own. Just as the wig.
Yeah.
It's really catching on and people are loving it. And you know, Ellen does like a funny bit on her show where she does that, and she's doing it as like a joke
mm-hmm.
because she's like making fun of the fact that everyone's doing the Miranda.
Yeah.
But it looks good on almost everyone else, but not Ellen.
Yeah. Not Ellen.
Not Ellen.
No. And the Miranda goes so far, like it becomes like a meme and it like fully infiltrates meme world. And it's just like the Miranda is everywhere.
It's everywhere. Oh my God. Yes. Everywhere. I love it.
So the girls are in Times Square.
Looking for Sam.
And they discover her just like, she's like frazzled. Like she's like fully out of
it. Totally out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they need to get her home. They need to get her to a safe place where she recognizes her surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we're getting you home.
Yeah.
Getting you home, Samantha. You'll have a good night's sleep. You'll feel better. And then you'll come too.
Mm-hmm.
So they do that.
Yeah.
Samantha does come too in the morning.
Okay.
And she's back into her normal. She's back to Samantha.
But I think when they get her home, it's like when Miranda had to like find Steve's mother, and then they like went to Steve's mom's house mm-hmm. and it was like there were cockroaches everywhere. We go into Sam's house And it's like
fucking hoarders.
A disaster.
I am biting my nails because I'm on the edge of my seat.
I'm dead.
Okay. Yes. So and it's a fucking hoarder situation.
Horrified. Horrified. So like Carrie like puts Samantha to sleep, like gives her like a Xanax.
And they start looking around.
And they start looking around and they're like, we have to clean this place up. Like, so they kind of clean.
And we find old ratty blankets. We find all seasons of Dharma and Greg on DVD. We see little candles that are completely melted.
Yeah.
But the casings are still there.
One of the girls like pulls up a pile of like newspapers and discovers like an old petrified dead cat. Like underneath, yes, and they scream. Yeah, Charlotte screams.
That's a comedy book.
Yeah, and then they're like, "I didn't think Samantha even liked cats. She hates cats." Yeah. And they're like, "I know." And so they're just totally freaked out. Like they don't know what's happening to their dear friend Samantha, and they don't. They also feel so guilty that like, how did it get this bad?
Totally.
Where were we in all of this?
And then when they're having that conversation, like, where were we in all of this? All of a sudden, Miranda whispers in Charlotte's ear. She goes, meow. And then Charlotte thinks it's the dead cat. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte screams again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, the cat's dead. And yeah. It's like a big, funny comedy bit again.
Charlotte screams and then lets out a little scaredy fart. And then they laugh. And then they laugh. They're like,
there's
Charlotte.
Always like a little gross moment that they always have.
And they're like, "Oh, Charlotte, like you're so silly." And then they all kind of laugh. And then she's like embarrassed. She like turns red and she's like, "Stop it! I didn't fart." And so, and that becomes like
so Charlotte.
So the next day, Samantha wakes up and
she's come to completely back to the Sam that we know from the series and the movies.
Mm-hmm.
She's not still Sam.
She's not still Sammy. She's like Samantha Jones.
Samantha Jones PR.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she realizes in that moment, she wakes up in her bed, not knowing how she got to her bed.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a very dramatic, quiet moment where it's like just her. There's no dialogue. And she just realizes she's looking around her apartment thinking, how did I get here? This is not the life that I was leading. And she's all of a sudden having this aha moment where she's thinking that she moved to New York and she maybe has a flashback in her mind of when she first moved to New York from Florida. Or maybe the flashback is when she got on the bus to go from Florida to New York City.
And it's her playing herself as a teen.
Yes.
Yeah. Like there's not a younger actress. It's her. Just Kim Cattrall.
They put braces on her
and kind of frizzed her hair a little bit and like airbrush her face like fully,
like that technology they used in Captain America or Avengers where they made Robert Downey Jr. look like a teen. They did that with her.
Yeah, that's a huge part of the budget is devoted to like
her de-aging.
Yeah. and then we kind of also get flashbacks of like her best moments from the show and like her wonderful life
and her most New York moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see all the New York moments of Sam being uniquely Sam in the New York City.
In the New York City.
Yes.
But so now it's all come to this.
It's all come to where she's looking around and she looks over in her corner of the living room and she sees a spot where there's an indentation in the rug and it's where a dead cat was that the girls had taken out of the house. And she goes, oh my God, I remember getting Fluffy and she's no longer here or Fluffy. And I need to get out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get out.
So she calls her assistant and she's like,
who's played by Selena Gomez.
Yes. Selena Gomez, a fresh face. That's like all business.
Yeah. She's only in three scenes.
Mm-hmm.
The other scene with the Find My iPhone, this one, and then a future one.
Yeah. A future one. So she calls Selena, the assistant, and then tells her like, cancel my day, cancel my week. Cancel my year. It's all canceled.
Yeah, it's all canceled.
It's all canceled. And she's like, what? What? But before she can even get answers, Samantha's hung up.
Mm-hmm.
Then she clears all this trash off her desk and presses record on a tape.
She grabs her tape recorder from underneath a bunch of magazines, puts it on that desk, and she hits that record button and starts recording.
Yeah. Then we fade out and we fade back in and I think the girls are at brunch, like Carrie, Charlotte, Miranda are all at brunch.
And they're talking about Spectrum cable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They're and discussing how, that.
Yeah. And they're like, it switched from Time Warner and it's just
what
like,
is it now?
What is it now?
They're totally confused. And yeah. They're having that whole conversation about Spectrum cable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, and then Miranda's like, well, we cut the cord. Like, we don't even watch. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte's like, Carrie's like, how could you do that? There's so much good TV on.
Right, you're
and
missing it all.
Yeah. And like, and they're kind of joking about like, I think Carrie jokes about not having as much sex because like she and Big are older now and they watch TV, but she's fine with it. And then Miranda's like, speak for yourself. Like, I just got like laid last night. And
yeah. Miranda's taking on some of the qualities that Samantha has lost.
She's kind of like, now who's sexy now? Uh-huh. It's Miranda. Uh-huh. Like she is the Samantha. And then Charlotte and Harry's life is like the same, like very stable. Mm-hmm. And like her daughters are in private school. And they're kind of becoming like Bella Hadid type of girls. Like,
yes.
They're being groomed for like superstardom modeling. And they like are going to be even more famous than Bella and Gigi.
Yeah, they're going to be huge supermodels, like humongous supermodels. And we see little glimpses of them in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're stunningly newcomers to the silver screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're newcomers. And they're stunning.
Total newcomers. They're stunning.
Yeah.
So the girls are talking. They're waiting for Samantha to get there. But she never shows up.
She never shows up to brunch because Samantha's already on her way to Florida.
Yeah.
She's on her way back to the Everglades.
And, well, they're like, where is she? Where is she? Like, what the fuck? And so they, just when they're about to call her, a messenger comes into the restaurant.
So, yes.
With a package.
Yes.
And he puts it on the table with no explanation. And the messenger,
he's played by Michael Fassbender because they have celebrity cameos in the movie. So Michael Fassbender comes in as a messenger.
Yeah.
Just delivers heat. Only says, here, girls. That's his only line.
Mm-hmm.
He drops it down, and it's a mess. It's a note to them, and it just says, hey, girls, it's Sam. You'll get your tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what the fuck? What do you, what did she
play these
tapes?
In order? Yeah.
Yeah. Play these in order.
Mm-hmm.
Play these in order. And they're all confused. They're like, tapes, tapes. And then they have some funny little asides about like Spectrum cable again and tapes. And they're like, what year are we in?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, all, they're having a moment before they're talking about Samantha's dementia. They're like having a moment where they're like, what year is it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Samantha driving down, like she's already in Florida
and
at this point.
She's her normal self.
Mm-hmm. She's her normal self. She has like a beautiful, like Bob Mackie, like silk scarf tied around her head. She's in a convertible with like huge sunglasses.
Huge sunglasses. And she has some random object on her because they always like are dressed in something random.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, she's got a scrunchie on her upper bicep.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Around like a gold like scrunchie.
Yeah.
Like a gold lame scrunchie.
Mm-hmm. And it's like on her bicep.
Yeah.
And that becomes a trend too.
But that becomes a trend too. And then I think under the gold scrunchie is like a thick, like it's like a Versace like bicep bangle.
Yes.
Yeah.
A bicep bangles are huge in the summer night. Yeah.
So oh no, the scrunchie is just a metal. It's an actual gold scrunchie bicep bangle. With a huge Versace, like, Medusa on it. And it's very, very 2019.
I would buy that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So she's in her car driving.
So she's in her car driving, and we just see it, like, kind of zoom in on her, and then it goes, the camera, like, turns around, and we see her car just, like, going down the road.
Yes.
And it's, like, now, and then there's a sign that says, like, now entering...
Florida.
Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, you're entering Florida.
Now entering Florida.
You're entering Florida. She got there quick.
Yeah. She put it, she recorded those tapes and then rented
the fuck out.
Rented a car and got
rented
the fuck
car.
Out. Yeah.
And, yeah. And then it just says, welcome to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's playing is, it's a remix of that Taylor Swift song, Welcome to New York.
Yeah.
It's Welcome to Florida. It's like a remix that Taylor did just for this movie.
And every time Samantha like drive, like she's not just going to Florida. She's going to like small hometown in the Everglades.
Yeah. It's like that movie. What was that Oscar movie with Willem Dafoe? Do you know what I'm talking about? The Florida Project. How could I not think of the name? The Florida Project.
What was that movie that took place in Florida? That
the Project.
It was like in the project in Florida.
So she's like in that kind of neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like she's driving. She literally, we see that hotel.
Yeah.
From the Florida Project. Yeah. And Willem Dafoe cameo is like, Samantha drives by him.
And he's like, kids. Slow down.
Yeah. He's with all the, I didn't even see the movie, but yeah. I saw the trailer. Yeah. And he was with some kids.
He's with some kids mm-hmm. and we get like a little moment, but everyone that sees Samantha drive by, it's like their heads turn. Cause it's like, who is this new girl in town?
That's Willem's cameo is he's like, who's that?
Who is she? Yeah. And Samantha,
for a moment, we're not sure if it's Madonna or Willem Dafoe because they sort of look alike.
They sort of look alike now, but it's Willem. It's truly Willem. Yeah. And so Samantha pulls into
Madonna's cameo comes later.
Madonna's cameo is later. Yeah. And so Samantha pulls into, like, is she living in a house? Is she living like in a hotel?
She's in a motel.
I think she pulls into the motel from the Florida Project.
The outside is that hotel from mm-hmm. or the motel. But the inside, they couldn't recreate mm-hmm. because of budget reasons.
Yeah.
It was too expensive to get that same set decorator. So mm-hmm. they hired someone new because his career took off. That guy who did the inside of the Florida Project Hotel, mm-hmm. his career really took off. So they hired someone new. And so it looks just slightly different than that movie's interiors.
But it's still very similar. Mm-hmm. And the fans of the Florida Project, there's like great crossover and it brings a lot of dramatic cred sure. to the movie.
Sure. So Samantha, Florida Project fans are like loving this
crossover. They're loving this crossover. And they're like, wow, you know, I never really connected with Sex and the City because it wasn't deep enough for me. But now I found a way in.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They create Facebook groups called like the Sex Project.
Mm-hmm. The Sex.
Sex Project.
The Sex and the City Project.
Yeah, yeah.
The New York, from New York to Florida Project.
Yeah. And then the cover photo for that Facebook group is just the still image of Willem Dafoe seeing Samantha Jones on this, like, drive through town going, like, who's that girl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so Samantha checks into the hotel, the motel. She puts all her bags down and then just like reclines and kind of, and then takes a nap. She's tired because that was a long drive.
It was a long trip.
It was a crazily long trip where she just drove all the way through.
And she seemingly knew exactly where to go without any directions. Like, she never had any directions on her phone or anything. She just knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was something she never forgot.
Yeah. And so,
how to get back to Florida.
How to get back to the Everglades.
She got there.
We cut back to the girls. And they're now Carrie's at home.
Yeah, they've all dispersed back to their homes.
Yeah.
They're all at homes. And they're ready to listen to their tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're Carrie's at home.
Carrie's at home. Big's like in the other room watching his reality program.
Yeah, he's watching Below Deck Med.
Yeah, and he loves it. He's laughing.
Captain Sandy.
Yeah, and he just, Big like loves Bravo reality TV shows. Yeah,
so
Andy got him into it, and now he's like actually hooked.
And Andy's trying to get him on a new real estate show, like to be like a customer on one of the real estate shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Bethany and Frederick spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
So Aiden knocks at the door.
Yeah, just when Carrie's about to push play.
Because she thought she had his tape, but remember, Aiden is the one who delivers the tape.
Oh, yeah.
So she presses play, and right when she presses play, there's no sound coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a knock at the door, and it's Aiden with a different tape.
Yeah, it goes, maybe her tape goes, it's like no sound, and then it's like Samantha going, answer the door, Carrie.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, and Carrie's like, what? And then
There's horror elements in this film too.
Yeah, it's a thriller.
It's a thriller.
This is like it's a genre-defying film.
An epic.
Yeah, an epic.
So Aiden's at the door. He's got her other tape.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie is like freaked out. She's like, oh my God, Aiden, what are you doing here? Hold on. She closes the door behind her and she goes outside to talk to Aiden because she's worried that Big's going to see Aiden.
Yeah.
And
because even though they've squashed a lot of drama and no longer fight about TVs, Aiden is still a very sensitive subject.
Totally.
In their relationship. Like, she promised Big after the Abu Dhabi debacle that she would never.
Abu Dhabi debacle.
Abu Dhabi debacle.
Say that three times.
She would never, ever talk to Aiden ever again.
Totally. Yes. Yeah, so she has to run back inside to grab the tape player.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Big, I'll be right back. And she lies to him.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll be right back. And then she goes with Aiden.
Yeah. He's like, I have this tape. Like, she's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I have the tape. Like, Sam gave it to me. Like, she said that I had to come here. Like, it was an emergency. And so Carrie knows she has to go with him.
Yeah.
So she lies to Big. And then they go, where do they go? To Aiden's apartment.
They go to Aiden's apartment. He's alone now. He's single. Mm-hmm. And one of his kids, one of his sons, is there, and he's played by the boy from Modern Family.
Yeah.
And they, he's staying with Aiden for the week, weekend. And
he's still young. He's like 13 or 14,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 13
Aiden
or 14.
Aiden and his wife have like joint custody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they're back at the apartment. And then Aiden's like, hey, son, you need to go. You need to get out of here. Like, I have company. This is Carrie. I used to date her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's getting ready to leave. And then he whispers in Aiden, his dad's ear. And he's like, she's cute. And he's like, she's not for you.
Yeah. And he's like, I know.
He's like, I know, for you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I know, for you. I mean, for you, Dad. So yeah. He's kind of pushing it along.
He's going to, because he wants, because you know, Aiden is always just better in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, he needs that for, like, a woman to really ground him. And he's been single ever since the marriage.
And Aiden's house, it's like a farmhouse. It looks like something from the show Fixer Upper, because mm-hmm. everything is like that kind of look.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a more lifestyle porn, but it's very rustic farmhousey, despite it being in the, it almost looks like we're in a different city, but we're not.
We're in like Virginia, but yeah. It's actually New York, and it's we're in Aiden.
And you can't believe it, but it's like, that's one of the beauties of this.
Yeah. There's so many interiors.
So much interior porn.
So they play the tape, mm-hmm. and it's revealed that Samantha was really triggered by seeing Carrie and Big together.
Yeah. It triggered her, and she said, you know, I don't want you guys to break up, but I'm not comfortable seeing you settle down so happily, because you've always been the person that I thought had a higher expectation for men in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've seemingly settled with a man who is now watching reality TV, which you used to have a problem with. And so Samantha is basically...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
They're telling Carrie, like, you're not the girl that I... thought and knew. Like, where did the real Carrie go?
Yeah, this right? isn't you. You're not you anymore.
You're not you anymore. And ever and Samantha, maybe this is like she alludes on the tape. She said, I know everyone thinks I'm not me, but you're not you.
Mm-hmm. And she said, it takes one to know one.
Oh, yeah. That's how she ends the tape, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how she ends every tape.
And you know what it does? She ends that tape like that, and immediately, without any dialogue or anything, she jumps on Aiden and they kiss.
Yeah. They have a moment.
They have a moment, because hearing that you're not you makes Carrie want to go back and be messy like she used to be.
Yeah.
And she fucks Aiden.
Yeah. And she fucks Aiden right there. And it's hot.
So hot. It's like the hottest scene. It's so hot. And he doesn't, even though he's older, he doesn't need to take any medications or anything.
And he looks good.
He looks good. Like, and he does look good.
He looks great. Yeah. He's like so fit and just mm-hmm. like, just has aged so nicely. And like, she looks around. She looks around his house and she's like notices that there's no TVs and not even a computer.
And then so they're having sex in it's sundown.
Yeah, right? On a bearskin rug.
Bearskin rug, like the sun is coming down,
mm-hmm.
and there's a new song that's playing by Kimberly Locke, and it's like this it's this very romantic song by Kimberly Locke from American Idol.
Yeah.
And this is like her comeback song, and that's what's the sound, that's the soundtrack to this moment.
Mm-hmm. And afterwards we see them like cuddled up on this rug and like there's candles lit around them.
It's
and,
you know what? I wanna just go back for a second.
Yeah.
It's actually just a slowed down version of Eighth World Wonder.
What's that song? I don't know.
You would know it if you heard it. It's okay. Like a grocery store song. It's a okay, Kimberly wow. Locke. It's like a It's an adult contemporary, like cheesiest song ever, but it was like Perfect. A little bit fast, but this mm-hmm. is like the soundtrack. This moment has a slowed down version of Eighth World Wonder by Kimberly Locke.
And maybe it's a slowed down version of that song sung by Rihanna.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. A slowed down version of Eighth World Wonder by Rihanna. Yes,
yeah. Like exactly. when Rihanna puts out her new album, this is like, you know, she covered the Tame Impala song. This time she covers the Kimberly Locke song, oh and it's God. Actually like breathes new life into the song. song.
Die. And that's literally like my dream come true.
Yeah. So that's what this is.
Oh my God. And that's a hit. That's like huge hit song.
And when this movie comes, like during award season, that song is nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah,
and Kimberly Locke
the rules.
And Rihanna both sing it mm-hmm. together.
Oh, yes. At the Academy Awards, they sing a duet of it.
Yeah. So smash cut. Mm-hmm. Aiden and Carrie have just slept together. Yeah. And they're cuddling on this rug, and they realize that, like, all those feelings
never went away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Carrie has an aha moment in this little bit where she realizes, like, she isn't the same person anymore. Like, she lost herself along the way.
Mm-hmm. And we see all these flashbacks.
We see her flashbacks from her greatest hits in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we go to, like, when she moved there. Did she move there for college? Or did she?
She got, like, a job there.
She got
in
a
Carrie
job.
Diaries, she got, like, a job where she was living outside the city with her family, and so she would like travel to the city for this job.
Mm-hmm. We get a flashback to her job interview with the New York Star,
and it's
when she first got her column when she's like 26 or 27,
and she's played by Anna Sophia Robb, who played her in the Carrie Diaries, because she would have aged to that age, right?
So Samantha plays herself always, but young Carrie is played by Anna Sophia Robb.
Yes.
So we see that, and then we see like her career build up and all these different guys that she slept with and great loves of her life.
She thrived off of having drama in her relationship.
Yeah.
That was what she ultimately loved more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to settle down because she loved the game of it.
Yeah.
That was what she realized.
And maybe even in Samantha's tape, like Carrie kind of fights it at first. She's like, I am still me. I am still mm-hmm. me. And then like Samantha says, like, you wear cashmere sweatpants now. You're nothing like you used to be. And we realize that all we've seen Carrie wear in this entire movie is like cashmere loungewear.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
with that belt.
Yeah, with that belt.
Yeah.
And with different shoes, but it's just like, it's always like sweats.
A sweatsuit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, fuck.
She lost herself.
Yeah, she fucks Aiden. She has all these memories, and then she realizes she lost herself.
And truly, the true Carrie is someone who wants to have drama.
Yeah.
That's her.
She thrives off of it. And I think maybe even like in the movie, like her book sales have like dropped a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, she has an audience. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. her fans are never going to leave her, but like, things have gotten a little stale.
Yeah. She needs to spice things up.
Yeah.
And her happily ever after is a messy life.
So she goes back. We see her go back, like enter her apartment, and Big is just like asleep on the couch. Like he has no questions about where she was. And like
another episode of Below Deck Med is playing.
Yeah. It's been a marathon.
He was watching a marathon.
Yeah. And she kind of like wakes him up and they get into bed, and we see her just laying there realizing this is not the life mm-hmm. that I ever wanted to lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the next day, I think whose tape is next? Charlotte's?
Charlotte. Mm-hmm.
So the next day, maybe Charlotte's getting ready to like film. She's getting her glam done because she has a shoot.
Yeah, she has a confessional shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's getting ready to shoot, and she's looks at her tape. The PA comes in and is like, you know what? Bethany's late to the shoot. We're going to have some time. Bethany's getting back from Puerto Rico today.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some extra time.
Yeah.
And so then Charlotte's looking at her tape and she's like, well, I got some extra time. I might as well play this.
Yeah.
And that's when she plays her tape.
So Charlotte's tape says,
Charlotte's tape is all, it's, you know, Samantha Jones saying, I worked for you and you made my career tumble. She says, you know, you refused to a film with Drunk Dorinda, and that cost me a lot of money in sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how,
but
it's not even revealed. Sometimes there's plot holes.
Yeah. It doesn't, we don't need to know. We know is that had a ripple effect that mm-hmm. like
Samantha used to have four assistants. Now mm-hmm. she just has the one.
Now she just has Selena.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And her business, like, she's like, you don't know this, but my business has all but fallen apart.
Yeah. And it's your fault.
And it's your fault from that moment.
I fired a lot of my clients. I fired Smith Jared because you're,
so I could focus on you.
So I could focus on you. And it was taking up too much of my time. And then you made me lose money by not filming with Dorinda.
Mm-hmm. And Charlotte's shocked.
Charlotte is shell-shocked.
She had no idea.
Yeah. She, you know, we see the back of Charlotte's head, and then the PA comes back to knock on the door to say, hey, are you ready to film? And she turns around, and she's got mascara running. Mm-hmm. She was crying. It's like this real dramatic shot.
It's very dramatic. And I think also an added thing is that Charlotte's Samantha was also managing Charlotte's daughters, but they're divas. They have like the old Lily is like fully into coke.
Yeah. Lots of coke,
lots of coke and clubbing late at night. So Samantha's always kind of like, it's like they're a lot of work to manage because they haven't yet crossed over into like total superstardom. So Samantha just has always have to clean up after their messes.
Yes.
She mentions that too.
Yes.
And she's like, it's like I chose not to have kids for a reason, and now I'm like dealing with your daughters.
Now I'm
and
the
they're
mother.
Beautiful, but they're beautiful bitches.
And you're always working and I'm busy taking care of your kids.
Like, yeah.
You're the mother. I'm not supposed to be the mother. What happened to you? You're not the mother anymore.
Yeah. She's like,
you're not yourself, Charlotte.
You're not yourself, Charlotte. And then she's like, Lily overdosed, and I brought her back to life with CPR, and that should be your job.
Wow. And it shakes Charlotte to her core.
Yeah. She's like, can't
she
believe
had
it.
No idea. And she realized, wow, I'm not myself.
No.
I wasn't myself.
So then
she has a coming. So you know what she tells that PA that came in? I'm not filming anymore at all. I'm done.
Yeah. She quits.
I'm going to find my daughters.
Yeah. She quits the show on the spot.
On the spot. Like, they don't get another. And so when they air the season of Real Housewives of New York, they have to explain her absence away.
Yeah.
Because halfway through, she quit filming. And so she just is phased out.
Mm-hmm. She's phased out. And this also creates, I think, like, it's like a media firestorm, but no one can figure out why she quit, because whenever someone tries to call Samantha's office,
no one there. Wow.
And Selena's not going to give up the goods.
And then the tabloids just have their way with this whole story. And so they start printing things that aren't true and that are crazier than even what happened.
Yeah.
About Charlotte. They're like, Real Housewives of New York star quits unexpectedly because of, and they all, every tabloid says something different.
Yeah.
One of them says she overdosed. One of them says, you know,
she's in rehab.
She's in rehab.
Yeah. All this stuff. And then Charlotte can't bring herself to like set the record.
Her and Harry had, marital troubles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Harry cheating scandal. Mm-hmm. Or the daughters, like, having their, a daughter pregnancy and, like, abortion scandal.
Botched plastic surgery.
Yeah.
They say, oh, she's in hiding. She had botched plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm. No one knows the truth.
No one knows.
And so now I think we cut back to Samantha in Florida, and we see her, like, she goes into Dairy Queen.
DQ, yeah.
DQ to...
DQ something different.
Yeah. To interview for a job.
Yeah.
And the manager there is like,
wait, do I know you?
Yeah. And she's like, yeah.
He's an older gentleman around her age.
Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, it's me, Sam. I used to work here. And he's like, oh my God.
And then we flash back to her and young CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And that old man, though, he's not in young CGI because it's just Kim Cattrall and young CGI.
Yeah, it's just Kim Cattrall. They don't have the budget to put everyone. Yeah, it's like, it's just there's actually like a teen playing him.
Yeah, there's
so she's acting with like another teenager.
Yes, and so we're seeing this flashback of when they used to work at the DQ together and they're in love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just showing them in love.
Yeah.
And then.
And like fucking in the back of the restaurant.
Yeah, fucking. Yeah. Yes, they're fucking.
We cut back and she's like blowing him next to like a milkshake thing.
Oh, in present day?
When we do a flashback to young Samantha, yes. It's like we see her.
And those like crunch coat, those little peanuts, you know, that they have, mm-hmm. there's a big jar of them and they're like shaking on the counter.
Yeah.
As she's giving him a beach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and then
we and there's just... always a gross moment. So what would the gross moment be in that flashback? So like maybe, there's gotta be some sort of like little, like a step too far.
A step too far. I feel like it's like, she's not down with like swallowing. So like instead of swallowing, she's like, he comes into like a milkshake.
Yes. 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 I was going to say something even grosser. And
no, what were you going to say? Say it.
So she grabs, an ice cream. Somebody else is walking by. Another employee is walking by with an ice cream in a cup that's ready to go, in a cone.
That's
ready to go. And Samantha, instead of swallowing, she spits onto it.
Yeah.
Onto this perfectly made ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm.
And she spits his semen on. Sorry, guys. I apologize.
And then they give it to the customer. Mm-hmm. And the customer takes a sip and is like, yum.
Yeah, this is good.
They're like, it's kind of salty and sweet.
Yeah, so that's our comedy moment.
Yeah, that's the comedy moment. Yeah.
So then we cut back to present day.
Yeah, and he's like, are you sure you want to work here? And she's like, I've never been more sure of anything in my life. Mm-hmm.
And then his grandson walks by, walks into the DQ.
Yeah.
He's like, ready to start a shift.
His grandson is played by...
the same young kid.
The same young...
the same... So he's
is it Ansel Elgort?
Yes, Ansel Elgort is playing that manager that worked with her at a young age.
At a young
age.
And
then also, they just like change his style. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're related.
Yeah. And he's like, this is little Billy.
Yeah, Billy.
Billy, my grandson.
Ansel Elgort. Yeah, so Samantha looks at him.
Kind of trashed up because it's Florida. He's like has a mullet. Ansel with a mullet and a big tank top
I went to Myrtle Beach and all I got was this lovely tank top. Mm-hmm. That's what it says on his tank top.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the back it says like, I'm with stupid, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's got two different like kitschy sayings.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
And Samantha kind of have a moment.
That guy that she just had a flashback about.
Yeah. And she's not into old guys anymore. Yeah, she wants him young.
Yeah. And she's trying to relive her youth to see what she was missing from her current life. Mm-hmm. And so she all of a sudden gets the idea like, I'm going to fuck that kid. And that'll help remind me of my youth.
Yeah.
That'll bring me back to the place in my head where I'm better.
So the manager says, are you sure you want this job? And then Billy walks in and she sees Billy and then she goes, absolutely.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yes.
Yes.
So then we cut now back to
Miranda.
And she's about to listen to her tape.
She's about to listen to her tape with Steve, who Steve's in the other room, literally sitting on another guy's face.
Yeah.
They have a full-blown
orgy house right now. Yes, and Magda is like, she's really loosened up too, mm-hmm. and she's used to it. Like, she knows when to give everyone their privacy and like what kind of condoms and lube to buy and toys. And Mag, and stuff.
So in this scene, like, we cut to Miranda about to play the tape, and Magda's just like putting by Steve's doorway where he's with the other guy, she's putting down like a condom, some lube, and a little mini rosary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like a little acute wink to the past. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Miranda, she presses play.
She hears on the tape, literally while Steven's sexing a dude, she's hearing about how Samantha's saying, you've changed. Like, you never used to be this sexually open. And Samantha's saying, I wanted to be bisexual. She's like, I tried to have a relationship with a woman and I couldn't make it work. And I've tried to have a relationship with a couple. I couldn't make it work. You know, and we see flashbacks to those scenes in the series where Samantha is seemingly like this sexual, you know, awoke person.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in flashbacks, we're kind of reminded like, oh, she wasn't actually that sexually woke.
Yeah.
You know, she was like,
she's kind of straight.
She was very straight and very
heteronormative. Yeah.
And so we see those flashbacks of those times she had tried to have the relationship with the woman or the couple. And then we cut to Miranda and Steve having this very actually open relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And Samantha is on the tape. She says, Miranda, this isn't you.
Yeah.
This is not.
This is never who you've been.
This is not who you've been. And she says, you're leading the life that I always thought that I was leading.
Mm-hmm.
And
that I thought I would have. She's like, I was supposed to have this life. I was supposed to have this hair, these shoes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
This partner. And you took it away from me.
You took my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that gives Miranda an aha moment. And she goes, Steve, get him out. Mm-hmm. Get the guy out.
Yeah.
And that guy.
She breaks up the set. She's like, excuse me, this is over. And like, she comes bursting into the room.
This is over, and we see the old Miranda again.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is played by Idris Elba.
Yes.
And she's like, you need to get the fuck out. And we see him, like, sideways naked. Like, mm-hmm. we see him mostly naked.
He's covering, like, his dick with both hands and, like, shuffling out of the room. But we get a really good ass shot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so he shuffles out of the room, and Idris Elba goes, I mean, that's his cameo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's done. And Miranda gets back to that tough, loving Miranda that we used to know. And you know what? She's got the spiky hairdo, and she just she ruffles it a little
bit. She ruffles it.
And guess what? It looks even better.
Yeah. And then it's like messy, the messy Miranda.
The messy Miranda.
So I think Miranda calls up all the girls and she's like, did you listen to the tapes? And they're like, yes. And so now they, she's like, we've got to go get our girl.
We got to make this right. Yeah. And she's like, and we got to be ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I think we now cut back to Samantha.
Yeah.
And she's working at the counter at DQ.
Having very like romantic glimpses with Ansel Elgort.
Yeah. He like, he hangs out there a lot because it's summertime and he doesn't really have any friends. Like, I feel like he's in summer school because he's kind of like a bad boy or just like a little bit lost himself. And he likes to hang out with his grandpa, and grandpa works at DQ, so he chills there.
And one time Samantha like catches him around the corner, tonguing a girl, like a young, a 17, like they're just making out around the Dairy Queen, which P.S. my first kiss was at a Dairy Queen.
Really? It's a special zone for you.
I'm like getting flashbacks right now. I'm like, my first tongue kiss was at a Dairy Queen with a girl, which is neither here nor there, but I'm getting flashbacks now. But anyway, so Ansel Elgort, he's tongue kissing a girl behind the Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And Samantha is like going around to have a cigarette because she smokes a little bit now. Mm-hmm. In Florida, she smokes.
In Florida, absolutely. Everyone smokes. And she kind of is like, her style is very like, she's wearing shorts, flip-flop, and like a tube top.
Yeah, yeah.
With like huge hoop earrings.
She's like sexy Florida.
Yeah, and right? She has roots too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, roots and like bleach blonde hair. Yes. Maybe we get like a makeover montage. Yeah. Like when she gets to the motel, there's like a really fun makeover montage where she goes full Florida.
Totally.
So right. She catches Ansel.
Yeah. So he's making out with the girl and the girl sees Samantha and she's like, oh my God, someone's watching us. I got to get out of here. And so she scurries out and then they were sitting down. Like they were at one of those, like a bench, like
an outdoor table. Yeah.
Outside there. And so he stands up after she scurries off. Okay. And he stands up and he's got a boner. And Samantha, she sees it. She looks down and Ansel Elgort, he's like, oh, fuck. I can't believe she blue-balled me.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I can make them red for you. Is that the color? I'm like trying to think, what's the color?
Make them red for you.
I'll make them red for you.
There has to be a pun like red state, red ball, or something like that. Like, she's loving
exactly
Florida.
It. Red state, red ball. So yeah. That's exactly it.
So she and Ansel.
That's the poster tagline, Laura. That's literally red state, red ball.
Red state, red balls.
It's literally on the poster. Like, you know how the other one was like, get carried away? Mm-hmm. This one just says red state, red balls.
Red state, red balls. And so she takes Ansel out to the car and gives him the blowjob of a lifetime.
Yeah. And he's like, he comes in 2 seconds. I mean, but he is amazed at her talents.
Yeah. And she actually, like, they have a moment. He comes so fast. She's like, wait, have you never done that before? Mm-hmm. And we realize that he's like a virgin. Like, he's never even like seen a girl's boobs before.
Yes. Yes. So then we have like a scene where it's Samantha in a bedroom in her motel room with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And then she literally, it's like a montage of her having sex with this kid.
Yeah.
This is inappropriate.
No, it's fine. It's okay. Edgy.
I mean, it's indie.
It's edgy.
With a big budget. Yeah.
Yeah. But also it's like, I think this will come into play later, like in the movie where it's like she gets discovered for having this relationship and then like,
she's only let off because the judge realizes, this is down the road, but the judge realizes that she is suffering dementia.
Yeah.
So she couldn't be put to mind. And the parents don't press charges because of her dementia.
Mm-hmm. And because like, The grandpa gets it. He knows who she is. He knows she didn't mean any harm.
She's just being Sam.
That's Sam. Yeah. She is still Sam.
And it was consensual.
All. Yeah, and it was consensual. And he's 17. It's like the
Shortly after that first hookup, he turns 18.
Yeah. I think there will be a lot of think pieces about the relationship.
Was it okay? Was it not okay?
Jezebel will have a field day with it. Yes. Like lots of places will have reactive responses.
And then there's going to be articles about those articles saying, like, is this what the Sex and the City people wanted? Like, they wanted this.
Is this okay now?
Yeah.
And it'll actually spark like a very interesting discussion of like, if that was a young girl and an older guy, would we be treating it the same way?
Yeah.
And like the answer is we'd be even more outraged. So like it just creates a lot of discussion.
Everyone's talking about, like, aside from the Miranda haircut, like everyone on TV, Wendy Williams is doing a Hot Topic about this. You know, Andy Cohen on Watch What Happens Live, he's doing polls. Like, was it okay that she's up with them? Like, no one's quite sure where to land. Like, they feel that they should be against it, but after seeing the movie, they were so moved by her performance that they were like, you know what, maybe it was okay.
It's a constant conversation.
Even people that were normally be very upset about this happening in a film, they were so moved by Samantha and Kim Cattrall's performance, they're like, I don't find anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
And there people are like shocked by their own feelings.
And it truly is okay at the end of the day because it's love.
It's love.
So they fuck and we have this whole thing and like she totally takes his virginity and like teaches him everything about sex that you can possibly know. And then afterwards, I feel like she's like, all right, now scram. Like, she's like, he's hot, we fucked, and like, I'm Samantha Jones. Like, I'm over it and I need my beauty sleep. And so he leaves. But then the next day, he doesn't come in to work the next day. And she finds that she misses him. Like, she was looking forward to him being there, and then he's not there. And when she's getting off at the end of her shift as a cashier at Dairy Queen.
We do get like one quick comedic scene real quick though. A quick comedic scene of her checking someone, like doing the register at the Dairy Queen, like where she's trying to learn it again. Somebody's trying to teach her, like another young boy, like an awkward teen boy is trying to teach her the register. And she's like, honey, I've done this before. And it's like a cute little like,
and she like pushes the register in with her hip or like maybe can't get it to come out. And she's like, you just have to jerk it a certain way.
Yeah,
and like, there's a lot
it.
Of sexual innuendo. And then she's
I know which buttons to press.
Yeah. And like, she like shoves it back in with a little flick of the hip. And then like,
oh, and when she's at one point, she's like leaning over to do the register to like do one of her like moves or something. And that awkward teen boy is like looking at her boob and it's like kind of scantily, like it's not out of her shirt, like in her tube top. She's in her tube top. It's not out, but it's like he's checking out her, you know, rack or whatever. And she just goes, you want a better look? And she like real aggressively like pulls on
like
her
shows
boob.
One tit.
Yeah, one boob. Just one.
And she's like, there in her DQ uniform, I think with like a lacy red bra underneath. And then she's like, oh, you want a little peek?
Here's one.
Yeah. So Samantha's having fun at the her job.
She's like living, loving, laughing.
But she's also like a little bit sad that Ansel didn't come, Billy didn't come by.
Billy didn't show up for work.
But then as she's leaving, it's a beautiful Florida sunset. Like the sky is just like purple and it's like hot and humid. And who's waiting outside in the parking lot?
Billy. Billy's there
in his dad's car.
In his dad's car. And he's playing that slow Rihanna Eighth World Wonder cover. It's playing again.
It's the theme of this movie.
And he's playing it on the loudspeaker. And you know what? That sparks something in Samantha where she jumps in that car.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to take you on a date.
Yeah.
And she's like, let's do it. They go play mini golf.
Ugh, the most romantic of Florida dates.
The most romantic Florida date.
Wow. Yes. Yes. So then we cut back to the girls arrived in Florida.
Yeah. The girls are renting. They're renting the car and they're like figuring out like.
Well, they're returning the car that they had rented in New York. They're in Florida now, and they're returning it. And they ask at the rental car return, they're like, where should we go? You know, like we've never been to Florida. And they do some like very inappropriate like Florida jokes.
Yeah.
Like they make
they're really shitting on Florida.
They're really shitting on Florida. And it's like very like there's other think pieces later that come out about this movie about them shitting on Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like you remember when they went to Abu Dhabi and
People were like really pissed about the way that they
cultural appropriation.
Yeah, cultural appropriation. And then just like they're what they thought about the Middle East in general.
Yeah. And this happens again. Michael Patrick King doubles down and he really goes in on Florida during this rental car scene.
Yeah. And it's just like, maybe like the rental car, like return person is played by like, it's like
famous Florida actress.
Who's a famous Florida actress?
Margot Martindale. I don't know that.
With like an eye patch.
With an eye patch.
And like most of her teeth missing.
Yeah, very.
And they're like, why did you have to cast like this woman who's so obviously over the top.
A lot of the Florida workers in the Florida scenes are like very inappropriate.
Yeah, it's all, and they're like, God, aside everyone in Florida Billy, is so, except for Billy.
And the manager.
And the manager.
Like, everyone else like has.
It's like hideous.
Deformed. They look like, did you ever see that movie with Paris Hilton, The Hottie and the Naughty? Do you remember when she was like the naughty?
No, but I remember.
Do you know the poster at least?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so like they all sort of look like that, like cartoonishly trollish.
Yeah.
Like, they literally
it's like Shallow Hal or something. Yes, where it's like
they
like,
went out of their way. Patricia Field was busy, so she didn't work on this movie. So they hired somebody else. And so somebody else is doing like the costume and the makeup and all that stuff. And they put like warts and stuff on people to make them look like extra trollish.
Yeah. And there, it's like, God, and there's always these jokes about like everyone in Florida is fat and ugly. Like, and they just go in hard. Go in. Yeah. Yeah. And like, even the state of Florida, like,
they
make an ad for like tourism. Maybe like the tourism board of Florida sues Michael Patrick King.
So then the girls, in response to that, they have to film a commercial, the four girls.
Mm-hmm.
With Jennifer Hudson. Like mm-hmm. Somehow they rope, they have to get Jennifer Hudson back for this commercial to promote Florida tourism in a way of apologizing for this film.
Yeah.
And then it makes everything okay.
Yeah. And, but it's like a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. But, you know, this Florida tourism commercial that they do with J-Hud, you know, really makes everything a little bit better temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, we'll start to, you know, examine this movie again and we'll say, was that okay?
Yeah. And it really wasn't, but for they, now, in the time, yeah,
the
it
studio
is.
Put enough money into making it okay when it was first released, so we'll kind of all forget. Like, they shut down publications. They were like, let's stop talking about this Florida thing.
Yeah. So the girls have arrived in Florida and they're like, where should we even go? And then they get like, there's nowhere really in town, like, except for these, like, motels.
Because, again, this is stereotypical Florida, so there's only two motels
there's
in the whole
town. There's two motels in this, like, shithole Florida town.
And they just instinctively went to the same town, the Everglades, where mm-hmm. Samantha's at.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they thought
they found,
remembered
they
where she
looked
lived.
In her apartment and, like, they remember where she lived or the town, and they were like, she must
She's
be.
Back in the
they figure out through the tapes, like, mm-hmm. that'll get fleshed out in, like, the whole writing process, development process, but they figure out that she lives in this town, so they go there. And they check into the motel, and
another trollish person working.
Another a hideously trollish person working there.
It's Paul Giamatti in ugly makeup.
Yeah.
So it's like even an uglier Paul Giamatti. An extra ugly.
Extra Paul. Ugly Paul. And so they check in. They're like getting... and there's just like Florida comedy. I feel like they all go out to dinner, but it's like...
There's a scene at a water park.
Yeah, a scene at a water park. And I think that in the girls, while they're trying to kind of find Samantha... What?
I just thought of something.
Okay.
Sorry, I interrupted
you. No, it's okay.
There's also a funny comedy bit in Florida with the humidity, and it ruins the Miranda.
Oh, it totally ruins. The Miranda becomes like puffed out to the sides and very circular. Almost, it's almost like an afro, but it's not.
Sure.
Because it's not the whole head.
She ends up looking like the Cynthia doll from Rugrats.
Yeah, like that's exactly.
Which is what people look like when they try to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the girls, while they're in Florida, it's like, I think Carrie admits about like the Aiden of the, or they're talking about their tapes and like they're remembering, like they're all downloading each other on what the tape said.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're at a little diner or right there. Is that where they're at when they're downloading?
Yeah. I think they're at a diner.
They just come from the water park.
They've just
they're
come from the water
like
park.
Their Florida swimsuits, which are really like stuff they got at like those beach shops.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they're wearing like a white t-shirt cover up.
Yeah.
With
like
them.
A bikini.
All of them are.
Yeah. With a bikini on, but they all accessorize it differently.
Yeah. They all, and they look good. Like, and Charlotte's even wearing like the men's one. So it's like, looks like muscles, men's muscles on her.
Yeah.
And the white t-shirt. But like, they all look so fucking good in these Florida outfits.
Yeah. And like, everywhere they go, heads are turning. Like, people are really like fascinated
these,
by
like,
them.
Beachy outfits, like these kitschy beachy outfits, but like, they look so fucking good.
Yeah. And
aside from Miranda's hair.
Aside from Miranda's hair, which is just like a running joke in the movie at this point. Yeah.
Okay. So now we... They're at the restaurant. Okay.
Yeah. Is this the same night that Samantha is on the date?
Okay, yeah, so she's on the date, so this is nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
So Samantha's getting home to her motel from the date, and the motel just happens to be across from the restaurant they're at.
Yeah.
They're at a Dugan's, a place called Dugan's.
Mm-hmm.
And the restaurant Dugan's is literally across the street from the motel. So they look and they see Samantha with the young boy.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, the girls are all like, wait a minute, was Samantha's with like a young boy? Is that like her son? They, for a minute, they think maybe that's her son and she's coming back to Florida.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
I just had like a revelation.
What?
But this is too dark.
No, I think I know where you're going with this.
Too dark. But okay. So they're thinking that's Samantha's son. Like mm-hmm. She's with the son. So then Samantha makes So Samantha's making out with the boy and they're like, holy shit, that's not her son. Like she's making out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, we need to stop that. He looks like a young boy.
Yeah.
We need to get in there.
Charlotte's like, he can't be more than 17 years old.
He's 17.
She's like, he's 17. And then Brady's 17.
Miranda's like, she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't sleep with someone.
And Carrie's like, well, wouldn't she?
Yeah. Wouldn't she? That sounded so Carrie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then they were like, we need to run out there and stop Samantha. Okay. We need to stop her.
Mm-hmm.
They run outside and they're like, Sam. And Samantha's just ignoring him. And you know what? Samantha has a moment. She has a still Sam moment.
And we realize that she's back in a full still Sam.
So literally like they make out, her and Billy make out, mm-hmm. and then they stop kissing and it like prompts a still Sam moment.
And she calls him the grandfather's name.
Rick.
Yeah.
Rick.
She's like, oh, Rick, I love you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Rick, that's my grandfather.
Yeah.
And then the music cuts out and it's still Sam.
It's still Sam. Like, and she's just standing there blank face, like not knowing what to do. And Billy, he freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
He totally freaks out. He's like, what's going on?
And I think on the date, like we see them having their like mini golf date and they're having one of those conversations where it's like he's really confiding in her about like everything that he's gone through in life. And then he's like, what about you? Like, do you struggle with any? Or she's like, I know what you mean. And then that's the moment where she could tell him that she's like suffering from early onset Alzheimer's, but she decides not to.
Yes. And there's almost like they start to have a conversation at the mini golf where it's like, have you ever, you know, forgotten something? Like he says, oh,
he's like, you're so hot. He's like, you're old, but you're so hot. Like,
yes.
How do you just like stay? Like you're just in perfect shape. Like you're so smart. You're sexy. Like mm-hmm. You got it all going on. And she's like, well, there's more to that than meets the eye. And he's like, what? And then that's the moment that she could have been honest.
She could have been honest.
But she says nothing.
Nothing. She has like a mini
still Alice. She's like, I have to dye my pubes sometimes. Like, because remember when yeah. she got the gray hair?
Yeah. She has to dye them.
Yeah.
She does it regularly.
And they laugh. And then it's like the moment mm-hmm. came and went.
Mm-hmm. And then they're checking out at mini golf. Like they're on this mini golf date and they're checking out. And he's like, I forgot my wallet. He's like, did you ever forget anything? And that's another time where she could say something, but she's not going to.
Yeah.
But in her head, she's thinking and there's a voiceover. She said, I think I forgot something in my past.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like something traumatic happened to me.
Yeah.
And we have a flashback of her having a kid.
And she did.
She had a kid. Before she moved to New York, she had a kid.
Yeah.
And she blocked it out.
Yeah.
She blocked it out.
And she's like, it kind of just hits her in that moment. It's like a flash of just mm-hmm. her in a delivery room screaming. Yeah. But then it cuts out and we're like, what
and
was
as
that?
As an audience, we're like, what happened? What, yeah. That, was like, that a fake that? Thing? Like, yeah. What was that? Like,
who knows?
Crazy.
Moving on.
Insane. Like, yeah.
And then we get to the girls, the diner in their moment. And then they see Samantha. She calls Billy Rick. Mm-hmm. And then she goes into her fugue Alzheimer's
totally
state.
Totally
not Alzheimer's. Yeah. And the girls like come and like rescue her.
Yeah. And so they start telling Billy like, oh, I'm sorry, this is our friend Sam. And Billy's like, who are you girls? Like, who is this?
Like,
and,
what?
And Samantha is just not saying anything. Mm-hmm. And so Billy's freaked out. And then Carrie's fine. Like, go home, Billy.
Yeah. She's go like, home. Go home. And they shuffle Samantha back into her hotel room and like nurse her mm-hmm. to sleep.
Yes.
And then
like, it's a callback to that scene in Mexico from Sex and the City Part One mm-hmm. where Samantha's feeding Carrie.
This yeah. Now Carrie's feeding Samantha. And Samantha's kind of muttering in mm-hmm. this moment. She's like,
not making much sense. And we're not sure exactly. Is it Alzheimer's? Is it dementia? Like, we're not exactly sure the full diagnosis.
Yeah. At this point, we're like, it's like, we thought it was Alzheimer's, yeah, but it maybe is now maybe not.
Yeah.
And they call, maybe they call a doctor to come to the motel and like tend to her. And, yeah. and they're like, you know, she was just diagnosed like with Alzheimer's. Like she had, or mm-hmm. maybe no one ever diagnosed her, but they just thought like she's old and and she's having dementia. Like they're like, well, she lost herself in Times Square and like she's been forgetting things. Like we saw her apartment was so mm-hmm. messy. And
so we just assumed it yeah. was. And the doctor's like, this looks more like PTSD to me.
And they're like, PTSD?
Yeah.
Like,
and then they make a funny quip about what it stands for.
Yeah. They're like, well, Samantha's always S to D, but she's never had PT from it. Yeah. Like something like that.
Yes, exactly.
And so then they're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Wait, I'm going to go back. She's had a PTSTD, which is a part-time STD, but she's never had one full-time. And then we're like, no, what's PTSD?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then the doctor goes away and they're like, okay, well, if she doesn't like,
what's
have,
wrong with her?
Like, what is wrong with yeah. her? And then they see her Dairy Queen uniform.
Yeah.
And so then they're like,
why is she working at Dairy Queen?
Yeah. So I think like a couple of them go to Dairy Queen to like investigate like the next morning.
Yes. Yes.
The next morning, like while Carrie is like taking care of Samantha and then Miranda and Charlotte,
they're like getting ice cream and there's like a funny comedic moment where they're just having like a dilly bar
mm-hmm.
and they're just eating their ice cream. Dairy Queen's a sponsor in this movie. So there's like very dramatic Dairy Queen like product placement.
Yeah. And yeah. It looks so delicious.
It looks so good. Like better than you're going to get at Dairy
yeah.
Queen.
Yeah. And then Dairy Queen has like a whole renaissance moment mm-hmm. where it just like blows up after this.
They're each of the girls have a out. Blizzard named after them. So
oh
there's
my
like
God,
a Carrie
yeah.
Blizzard that's like blue and it's, you know, it looks like there's diamonds in it, but it's really, mm-hmm. you know, blueberries mixed with chocolate chip cookie dough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte's Blizzard is just like, it's like white chocolate.
White chocolate's like very fancy looking.
Yeah.
White chocolate, nothing mm-hmm. else.
It's like a white mint chocolate drizzle
yeah.
Blizzard.
And then Dairy Queen, in a wrong move of advertising, they release a Miranda Blizzard called Firecrotch. And it's like very, there's like a lot of more think pieces about
yeah.
this. Like it was very inappropriate. And Dairy Queen claims they had no idea, but really Dairy Queen wanted the press.
Yeah, they wanted
purposely
it.
Purposely released this inappropriate titled Blizzard
mm-hmm.
that is those little hot cinnamons
mm-hmm.
and Heath bars.
Yeah.
And it's Blizzard together and mm-hmm. it's red.
Yeah.
And Dairy Queen maintains that they had no idea there would be outrage on this.
Yeah.
But really they knew.
But they knew all along.
Yeah.
And then Samantha's Blizzard
It's so many different things. It's about how her head's not all there in the movie. So it's
yeah.
like every different, it's like too many, it's fruits, it's chocolates.
It's everything.
It's everything.
It's the everything
and
Blizzard.
In a first for Dairy Queen, they like put a vegetable in it. So there's like broccoli in it
yeah.
mixed in, like a little bit of broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that's part of, you can't taste the broccoli, but it's part of the marketing campaign of like, oh, it's a little bit of everything. Just
yeah.
like Sam is in this
yeah,
movie.
Totally. Yeah. So while Charlotte and Miranda are at Dairy Queen, they start talking to a guy, the old manager, and they
Rick.
Realize his name is Rick. And then they kind of put together, like, the Samantha was saying Rick, like, to Billy. And, like, or maybe yeah. Billy comes in and he's, like, asks his grandfather, he's like, have you seen Samantha?
Yes.
And they're like, what? And, like, having this moment of like not knowing.
Well, and then it's revealed that Rick also had Billy was, oh wow. Okay. Let me back up. So there was a moment where we see a flashback of Billy being dropped off at Rick's doorstep. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's revealed that Rick doesn't know where Billy came from. Like
mm-hmm.
we know it's his son, but we don't know the mother of.
It's his grandson.
It's his grandson.
Yeah.
So we know that we don't know exactly how Billy and Rick where the mothers come in, right?
Yeah.
So for a second, like Rick reveals this to the girls, to Carrie and Miranda and Charlotte. And for a second, they're worried that Samantha's related to Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And we as an audience are worried too.
They're like, didn't you? Well, at first we think that like, Rick tells his like love story or whatever with Samantha. Mm-hmm. And at first we think like, oh my God, Samantha had a kid with Rick And then
that kid
had a kid and that is Billy, and she's been fucking her grandson. Right.
So, yeah, she's been fucking her grandson. So we all think that is, and we're all gasping. Like, this is revealed in this moment with Rick, and we're very worried.
Yeah.
So we're sitting on the edge of our seats, like, is that his grandmother? Like, she just fucked him.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not.
That's not it.
It's not it. It's like,
I totally thought that that was going to be it.
Oh, see, I thought that was going to be like the big reveal, is that they're not related.
Is that they're not related.
But they lead us all to believe, like, Michael Patrick King literally, like, tries to get us to think that they are related the whole movie.
Yeah, okay. And that she had these, like, PTSD flashbacks, and that she really did have a kid.
She did have a kid. That's real. And she's getting PTSD. And she's so confused. And it turns out she did have a kid, but it's, guess who it is?
Who is it?
It's that other nerdy kid she showed the boob.
Oh my God.
In the Dairy Queen, like the other coworker of Dairy Queen.
How old is that nerdy kid, and when did she have the kid? Maybe she's had these like fugue states before. Mm-hmm. And like one time she, like all the girls remember that one time she disappeared like 17 years ago. They're sure. Like, well, she was like going through, they were like, she was really drinking a lot. And we just kind of thought like, oh, she went to rehab, but really months, but she had just, yeah.
Yeah.
She'd fugued out and then went to Florida.
Fucked some stranger.
Fucked a stranger and then had this baby and left it there. Yeah.
So Billy's turned 18 and it's revealed that they're okay. They're not, I mean, aside from it being illegal that she slept with him, they're
fine. Not incest. Like, they're in love.
It's not incest.
It's not incest. Yeah, yeah. And like, he goes back to the hotel and professes his love to her in front of Carrie.
Yeah. And Carrie believes it.
Also, she's inspired by it.
Right, right. She likes the drama of it.
Yeah.
She loves the drama of it.
Still kind of, like, I feel like she, has she come out of it at this point?
No. I don't know why. I just don't want her to. But I feel like she has to, but I don't want her to.
She's still fuguing.
Yeah, I don't want her to.
And
I want her to.
Yeah. She's fuguing, and Billy comes back, and he's trying to talk to Sam, and
maybe he snaps her back into it.
Yeah, because I think what happens is we get the full story of what happened with Samantha and her child and like the nerdy kid.
Right.
While Charlotte and Miranda are in the Dairy Queen
eating their dilly bars and their blizzards.
Yeah, and so then they come, and so they all go back, and Billy comes back, and he knows the truth about everything. Mm-hmm. And he is talking to Samantha, and he's like, I know everything that happened, and I know that like things aren't right now, but like, I don't care. I love you. And Carrie's like, she can't hear you. Like, she is like, it's not okay. Like, nothing is okay right now. And he's like, it is okay because love will make it okay. And then he like professes his love to Samantha, and then just like
into it.
Yeah. Like crawls back into bed next to her and just lays next to her. And he's like, I love you. And then she snaps back out of it.
And then they kiss, they have a nice romantic moment. And then she's like, sweetie, I got to talk to my girls.
Mm-hmm.
So then he leaves, and it's the four leads, okay? And they are sitting around, and they get a fire going. For some reason, this motel has a fireplace.
Has a fireplace in her room. She's in, like, the master suite.
Now she's in the master suite. Yeah. So she's upgraded with the girls there. And so they're all sitting around a fire, and they're having cosmos in a callback. And the girls are saying, you know, Sam, we thought you weren't yourself, but it turns out we weren't ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you missed us. And Sam is like, you know, I missed me, but I missed you guys more.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the girls have a moment where they just sit around and they laugh and they look at each other. And then we flash back to those iconic moments from the series and the movies where it's the four of them like cheersing and being them, you know.
Yeah.
And talking about drama and then laughing about it.
We get a perfume moment where it's like when they all were spraying the perfume and leaning in to smell it and all that. Yeah. Yes. And like we see like, It should be the four girls. Like, it's
the four girls.
Yeah.
And then Samantha has a line where she says, you know, I just, I wanted you guys, I wanted you each to be yourselves, but I wanted us to be us even more.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
It's beautiful. And they have like a beautiful moment. And then they kind of like all lean, you know, they're all sitting down in front of the fire and they all lean their head on each other's shoulders.
Yeah.
And so like the last shot is them around the fire and they're all leaning on each other.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. I think though, the next day, like they're getting ready to leave.
Yeah, they're getting ready to leave Florida.
I love that Samantha never really interacted with her biological son aside from showing him her tit. So they're all getting ready to leave.
There's no explanation.
There's no explanation, but it's okay. And the girls pile in the car. And they're like, Samantha, are you coming? And she's like, I can't come with you.
Yeah.
And they're like, but I thought it was us. Like us. It was supposed to be all of us. And she's like, no, I have unfinished business here.
So she sticks around.
So she sticks around.
And the girls, is this the end?
I think this is the end.
So is the last shot the other three girls driving off into the sunset?
I think Billy and Samantha's son. Mm-hmm. Who plays Samantha's son?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, but he's like a nerdy, not DH, because they didn't have the budget. Like they were planning on DHing him with CGI.
But it's actually just like
him in glasses.
Okay.
Because like they were planning on it during production, they were planning on it.
But they ran out.
They got in hot water with Dairy Queen and with like, they ended up having to like pay off a lot of people for all the inappropriateness of the movie.
So they show up and she's like really happy to see Billy. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of bashful to see Christian. And she's like, sorry about the whole tit thing.
Sorry, I showed you my tits.
Yeah.
Son.
And she's like, we really need to get to know each other again.
And by the way, where's your daddy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe is that how it ends? Where's your daddy?
Where's your daddy? Yeah, I think I feel like there's more, but maybe there's not more.
You know what? There is more, but you know what? It's her last line of the film is, where's your daddy? And then we see just a quick freeze frame of a very handsome older actor.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Clint Eastwood, right? Or Sean Connery or something. Mm-hmm. That's who his dad is.
Mm-hmm.
And we just see a quick, like quickest little glimpse of that celebrity cameo. And then we get on the screen, like the updates, like the, you know what
like
I mean?
Like the where are they
where
now?
Where are they now? Like those quick little things. So like,
I think it's like Samantha actually did have Alzheimer's. And so they had to check her into a Florida assisted living center. But she and Billy are still together.
They're still together.
And he comes and visits her every day.
And it says like, if you or someone you know is suffering from Alzheimer's, like please contact this number.
Yeah. They can get help. Yeah, it's not like their life doesn't have to be
it's
over.
Not over.
Yeah.
You can get back to you.
Yeah. Alzheimer's, like the World Alzheimer's Association.
They sponsored the movie.
It's like a special thanks to.
And you guys might be thinking this is inappropriate, but like they worked tirelessly. Like Michael Patrick King worked tirelessly with the World Alzheimer's
Association. And they're bringing so much awareness to this issue that it's like, that's why she's like getting the Oscar. And it's actually like very dramatic, like beautiful. Yeah.
And Kim Cattrall was actually like very close to this topic. Like,
yeah.
She really,
this is something that she's
passionate. The reason why she agreed to do the film.
Yeah.
Was because she said they had agreed to donate a certain amount of money to this World Alzheimer's Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so WAF, the World Alzheimer's Foundation.
Yeah.
And so she agreed to do it under that condition. And then, you know, so they worked tirelessly together. So there wasn't, you know, any, everything was run past that organization.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, if this is a story we need to tell to get where we need to go, so be it.
So be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's a beautiful movie. The credits start rolling. We hear that Rihanna song again, Eighth World Wonder.
Yeah.
By Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just stunningly beautiful.
Yeah.
And the credits, they have like a funny fonts. Like they want to add some comedy over the credits because it's been really,
it's been pretty intense. Yeah. And it left us, I think, as an audience in a place where we didn't expect to be left. But life is full of twists and turns. And sometimes you're not going to exactly get like a beautifully bow-tied ending.
It's not all sun and rainbows. And
no.
You know what? Sometimes we need to tell these darker stories. I mean, these are stories that demand to be told.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? These cineplexes aren't showing these movies.
And I think that we also get in like the kind in the credits moment, there's like a little blurb about how Samantha's relationship with her son is still a work in progress. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like that just goes to show like when you leave a child behind, like it's not like something that can just be healed immediately. Yeah, totally. Like there's a process.
And seeing that in the credits is very intense. And then they want to lighten it up. So they show a blooper reel, but the mm-hmm. blooper reel is really bad. Like it's not because none of the,
there's no Kim one's Cattrall, laughing Kim and they Cattrall's don't get along
with Sarah Jessica Parker. So there's no laughter, but it's like a blooper reel, but a very sad blooper reel.
Yeah. It's like, they like flub one word and no one laughs.
No one laughed at all. And if anything, like Sarah Jessica Parker rolls her eyes because she's, and then looks at her watch because mm-hmm. she's like, oh fuck. Like,
yeah.
Did Kristen Davis really have to flub that line? Mm-hmm. She's so upset about it.
And like one of them is just like, they yell action, but she doesn't hear it. And then she's like, are we rolling? And that was like considered a blooper.
Yeah. And yes, yes. And then the rest of the blooper reel is just Margot Martindale mm-hmm. in her like eye patch.
And like all the, like we get a whole blooper reel of all the Florida people. And then we also get like alerted to who played all of them. Uh-huh. And we realize that there were like 50 celebrity cameos in this movie. It's like Margot Martindale, Mike Myers, Liv Tyler,
Florida people.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy, Joy Behar. Mm-hmm. We had Deborah Messing.
Yeah, there was Chrissy Teigen. Yeah, there's like a whole slew of models.
Luann, the other New York Housewives, like premieres were themselves mm-hmm. in the movie, but Candace Luann was a cameo.
She was Florida, a Florida. Person. Yeah,
yeah, and then Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, Janine
was in it.
Justin Theroux,
Bill Maher.
Yeah,
Bonnie Hunt, Helen Hunt, Holly Hunter. All the Hunts were in it.
Laura Linney. Yeah.
Jason Bateman. Like the whole cast of those arcs.
Because it's also in the South. So it's so like they were there filming anyway. Yeah. So they brought him in.
Was in there. Gigi and Bella Hadid cameoed.
Yeah.
As themselves, but in Florida doing a photo shoot.
Yeah. Doing a photo shoot. I feel like Kobe Bryant. James Harden,
like a few of the stars of the WNBA who are not credited as their real names, like mm-hmm. it's just credited as some of the stars of the WNBA.
Yeah, which is spurs a whole other think piece thing.
Yeah, Storm from American Gladiators is in there.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of Salem the Cat from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. He's
there. And then we realized that like whoever played Andy Cohen wasn't actually Andy Cohen.
Right.
It was like another actor. Mm-hmm. It was John Mayer as Andy Cohen.
Mm, yes, mm-hmm. yes. And then there was a few singers who made their acting debut in the movie too.
Yeah.
Neil from One Direction. Niall.
From One Direction.
Jason
Meghan Trainor has like a she's a Florida, but it just shows her as Meghan Trainor with no Florida makeup.
She's just fully. She's just like exactly buzz like in there. Trainor.
Yeah, and no one knew. Like
she fit in perfectly.
Yeah,
she fit in exactly right, and that's that's it. That's the cast,
and that's that.
Yeah, I mean it's an all star,
and it's cast. It sweeps the Oscars.
It won the best song, which they created a new category. It wasn't best original song or best cover. It was like best song because they wanted to include this cover of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, Kim Cattrall won for best actress.
She gives a beautiful speech, mm-hmm, but then mm-hmm. she also says she kind of botches the speech because she does make a dig at SJP.
Yeah, of
like
course,
she
yeah.
the whole and that it's like it's sad because it kind of mars the legacy sure. of her work in the movie and puts a little damper on the shine of winning an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah. But, otherwise it was a great night for them. They won cinematography awards. Michael Patrick King won his very first Oscar
mm-hmm.
for directing.
For directing, yeah.
He directed this epic. And then the runtime of it is 1 hour and 9 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which is shockingly short.
Which is wild because it took longer to tell you what happened in the movie than the movie actually lasted. We're long. This has run long.
Sorry.
But it's fine.
But the movie's only 1 hour and 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Which,
it's a fast movie.
He releases a director's cut later, which is 3 hours and 2 minutes long, but the movie that played in theaters was 1 hour 9 minutes, and he's applauded for cutting it down and still maintaining the integrity of the film.
Yeah, and it sparks a whole new wave of cinema where it's like, movies are an hour now.
They should be an hour, and then like every movie that's released is around an hour, but then they release a director's cut later on Netflix.
Yeah. And then Netflix has like a whole new business model where it's like everyone's profiting. In order to see the director's cut, you better sign up for Netflix.
Yeah, everyone's profiting off this model.
And this the cultural ramifications of this movie are huge. The pop culture, the Miranda, the shoes.
I mean, the Eighth World Wonder cover. I mean, you name it. Yeah. Having Meghan Trainor in movies.
Yeah.
You name it.
It's
Paul Giamatti.
He's
got a renaissance from this film. Mm-hmm. Like, he starts doing a lot of more broad comedies. Like, he's just, after seeing him as this Florida native, he's just in demand.
So that's that.
I mean, it's a beautiful story. And
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing your vision with me.
I'm going to go dream about this, by the way.
I want to see this movie.
I'll be at home dreaming about it.
So, Sex and the City 3.
Yes.
Still Samantha?
Still Samantha. Samantha's reasons why. The tagline is.
I love Samantha's reasons why.
And then
the tagline is red ball.
Red state, red balls.
And they know not, it doesn't tie together, no, but
doesn't need to.
In 2019, we'll be. It's like post things making any sense.
Wait, real quick though, the movie title. It's Sex and the City 3. Samantha's reasons why. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Samantha's Reasons Why.
Sex in the City 3. Samantha's Reasons Why.
Okay.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I love that. And then in the picture is the Samantha in the, it's just a behind the shot of her in the convertible going to Florida with her bicep jewelry.
With her bicep jewelry and like a huge, like the, her beautiful like scarf trailing in the wind.
Trailing in the wind. And it's like a beautiful Florida sunset.
Yeah.
And you see the Florida highway sign or welcome to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe she's holding like three tapes.
She's holding three tapes that say their names.
Carrie, like, Miranda, clear. Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
I love it.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's so good. Thank you.
thank you for being my guest.
Thank you. I had the best time. I literally had the best time.
This is a real journey, and I loved every second of it.
It was dramatic. It was comedic. It was everything.
It's everything. It's genre defying. I think it's like a new wave of cinema, hour long movies.
Plus 3 hour movies.
Yeah.
Both.
Tell everyone where they can find you as if they don't already know.
No, please, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And my podcast is called Everything Iconic with Danny Pellegrino. Please listen. We do a lot of Bravo stuff and
so much Bravo stuff.
And you've been on, and it's been, I've been on. It's so fun. So it's Everything Iconic. And you can go to everythingiconic.com or find it on iTunes or wherever.
Love.
Thank you. I love you.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.